Touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
ILL.
I-N-I?
ILL.
Right.
ILL. One more. Come on.
I-N-I.
All right. Hashtag Bill Cubitt.
Presser going on right now, Carm.
Hashtag Josh Whitman. New era of Illini football is upon us on The Beat. Welcome in. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. We have outstanding help in the studio today as well. Florencia and Ewan are tag-teaming the show, along with our outstanding producer, Mike Jacobson.
Jacobson, getting it done.
Best in the business. 312-981-7200, if you'd like to get involved in the old program here. So, Kevin, I've been with the Marines for a week. It's great to see you.
You're a regular G.I. Joe now.
I'm a new man.
Are you sore? How did that go?
No,
explain
to
the listeners what you did for the past week.
Well, I don't want to bore people with my entire life story, but sure, I'll get in there just for one split second. I did do, we're on a football field, right? 20-yard sprint, around the cone with a little J step, then get down, crawl 10 yards, then on the knees for another 10 yards, then run through a little maze, pick up a partner like yourself, drag you back 5-10 feet, then I think they call it whatever when they throw you over the shoulder.
Yeah, like a fireman's carry?
Fireman's carry, that's exactly right. Pick you up, fireman's carry, run you back down about 60 yards, drop you up, pick up two ammo cans, 30 pounds each, sprint down, drop them, pick up the grenade, which was a tennis ball or something of a ball type object, whip it, and then run back down with the ammo cans.
Hardest thing you've ever done?
No, but it was pretty hard. 2 minutes and 15 seconds for Marine to pass that at the Carm on Twitter. Yours truly did it in 2:34.
Well done. Yeah, I saw. So there's videos of it on the website, right? WGNradio.com and social media and whatnot.
Yeah.
I saw it somewhere. Yeah. You were carrying a guy on your shoulder. It was impressive, Carmen.
There's a pic of it. I didn't know if there was a video. If there's a video, I want to see it because I like watching myself do things. But more importantly than that, I thought we were going to come back here today and talk about little spring training and whatnot. Illinois has fired their football coach day one of the new athletic director, Josh Whitman's job. There's a press conference. We'll have Shannon Ryan at 5 o'clock. And a little bit later in the show, I want to talk about the great Mike Ditka and leadership and everything that he's saying about the world right now, which is kind of fascinating. But your reaction, your favorite moments, Kevin Powell.
From the Bill Cubitt era?
From the Bill Cubitt era. And that's for everybody else. Illini fans, your favorite moments from the Bill Cubitt era. 2-6 in the Big Ten.
You blinked and it was over. I think that fifth win last year really stands out to me, Carm. That fifth win.
When he got
and the fourth one was pretty good, too.
When he got to 5-7, I thought to myself, this guy. It's kind of rough, though, right? Gets a two-year extension, new AD comes in, and you're fired and you're out.
You're fired and you're out, and there was some backlash of Whitman not informing the players because on Twitter, some of the Illini football players were tweeting that they were learning about the firing on the social media site. And Shannon Ryan just tweeted out because Whitman was asked about this, and Whitman said, this is not 10 years ago. Info travels fast. First person we wanted to hear was Bill Cubitt. But shouldn't you have had your players in like the room next door where they meet for, you know, reviewing the games and things like that, and had everyone sitting there, fire the coach, walk over there, let Cubitt say goodbye, and then inform them?
Yeah, there's what
call a team meeting.
Right, there's a team meeting called, you would think, and Josh goes and tells the head coach, and then maybe another coach is sort of with all the players in one room, and then Josh comes in and informs them, and then Illinois goes on with their business. 2011, let's go back to there. Illinois has had three athletic directors. They are now searching for their fourth head football coach, and they do have players like Chase Crouch tweeting out, I'm refreshing my Twitter feed for updates on my own football team for crucial information. This is crazy.
Yeah.
ILL.
I-N-I. You know, it probably wasn't a good sign when the interim AD last fall says about the Cubitt contract. Obviously, it's not ideal, but for now, I don't think it'll put a dagger in the heart of the program.
ILL. And how about the AD, Josh Whitman, coming out saying, we're keeping John Gross, our head coach, who's, by the way, Illinois' basketball team is terrible and their attendance is worse.
Because of his outstanding leadership, and I'll remind you that two Illinois basketball players have been arrested over the past 6 months. Quality leadership there.
Actually, three in the last 18 months. Let's not cheat them. So it's something down there in Champaign right now. But hey, maybe this will bring stability to the program.
They need a veteran coach, right? Someone who's been around the block, who's established winning programs in his career, right? This can't be some first-time head coach type of hire.
You want to throw out a name? I'll throw out a name. Doug Marrone.
All right.
Syracuse was a disgusting program. Awful. He took the orange to prominence. He went to the NFL, was a slightly crazy man with the Buffalo Bills. But that's a big time. That's a name out there that would garner some respect, and maybe people would be excited. There's just no way that Illinois should be as completely irrelevant as they are in football. I also think that Illinois needs to know who they are. You're not Michigan. You're not Ohio State. No disrespect to the Illini people in the studio right now, but you should be able to be a middle of the Big Ten pack, right? You should be a 7-8 win Illini team. I don't think that's too much to ask for in Champaign.
That's what I was going to ask you. Realistically, what should the goal be for Illinois each season?
Middle of the conference.
A bowl?
Yes, a bowl game, middle of the conference. And how about have players of character and run your program in a first-class manner? Honestly, is that not enough for the University of Illinois at this point? I think that's fine. And, like, rise up every now and then. Have an Iowa-like season this year. That's all we're looking for. Go Hawkeyes, my alma mater.
Not being an embarrassment, I think, could be a goal for Illinois.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is that too harsh?
No.
Just not being an embarrassment?
No, I think that's actually not harsh at all right now. I think that's how a lot of Illini fans feel. Because it is embarrassing for Illinois right now. But listen, we'll have Shannon Ryan on. I know that Illinois football is not exactly moving the needle these days, let alone in the beginning of March. But when you do fire the head coach on your first day on the job, it does warrant starting the show with that. And, you know, Kevin, I have high hopes that they can't go any lower, right? I guess is my point. I think in summing it up, Illinois can only go up from here. Perhaps. Is that fair?
I guess so. But you never know with U of I. Whitman says in this press conference, I'm going to give you some updates as they come in.
Whitman played for the Illini, if you didn't know that. He comes from Division III Wash U in St. Louis.
Had a lot of success at some of these smaller schools.
Right. And I love a guy who battles his way up and has program history on his side. Like that type of guy I like to give the benefit of the doubt to. And I'm sure he had a ton of support above him to make this move.
Support or pressure.
Okay.
If he even had to make the decision himself, you know what I mean? If he was brought in this situation, I think they told you're going to get this job, but the first thing you're doing is firing our football coach.
Hey, by the way, yeah, we're hiring you, and you're going to have to get rid of Bill Cubitt. But why would you give him a two-year extension then? Why wouldn't you just tell Bill Cubitt, hey, we're going to be hiring an athletic director. We appreciate you being here on an interim basis until then. If you're unwilling to do that, then we understand, and you can move along with your life. But if you are willing to do that, then you'll interview with the new guy. How hard of a conversation is that to have?
Well, look, the firing as a whole, it probably makes sense, right? They do need to turn the page, start fresh here. Whitman says in the presser, the goal for us is a championship standard. Today we took a big step in that direction. Why? Because you fired your football coach? That's a big step in the right direction to a championship standard? Now you got to make the right hire. The firing was the easy part.
You would think that he knows who he wants to hire. You don't, like this, you got to know how this is going to come out and play. That he probably... I mean, he's sitting there with a short list of three guys, right? And if number one doesn't take it, number two will. Or if number one and two don't take it, he knows number three will. Something along those lines. That's how you do these things. I've never been in a hiring position. I normally just get fired. But I would think that that's how it would go if you have that spot. Well, that's my guess.
And by the way, spring practices are supposed to kick off next Friday for U of I, March 11th.
Postponed.
Postponed.
The old postponement.
Great start to the football season, so we'll have to wait and see.
Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. 312-981-7200. That is the phone line. That is the text line. You can join us on 720 WGN. A little tribute coming back. 720 WGN.
Bases loaded. Two out. With Konerko on. And he rips one into left. Konerko, grand slam.
What a great great moment.
Is that the best baseball moment in the history of this city?
Yes.
It is, right? Welcome back to The Beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Kevin Powell. How many World Series have you seen in your lifetime, Kevin?
One, 2005. Great year.
Who won that World Series?
That'd be your Chicago White Sox. And who reside on the South Side?
Who hit the Grand Slam?
That'd be Paul Konerko in Game 2 against the Houston Astros, putting them up 6-4 in the seventh inning. I'm sure Adam Hogue can verify that. But happy birthday, Paul Konerko.
And we do bring in one of our hosts of The Beat and your Bears expert at 720 WGN, Adam Hogue. The reason why we're bringing in Adam is because he's actually at Cubs spring training today, which is an amazing accomplishment by Adam Hogue. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Hi, and yes, that is the greatest baseball moment, not only in Chicago baseball history, but my and Richard Hogue's lives.
Just a beautiful moment.
I thought you were going to go entire baseball history, and I would have allowed you to say that. You know, because it was so unlikely that either the Cubs or White Sox would have ever won that, you know, you could go all-time baseball history.
Probably not, though. I mean, like, Joe Carter had a pretty cool home run.
Konerko's is the best.
It is for us, no question.
Hey, Adam, before we get into the talk here, I just want to give the listeners a little behind the scenes. Mike Jacobson, phenomenal producer. All right, does a great job booking the show, organizing. It makes it real easy for me when I fill in for you. So all of a sudden during this commercial break, I'm looking at line 9, which is reserved for guests, and it's ringing, and we don't have a guest booked until 3:35, and we said, well, who's calling in? I thought it was maybe Steve Cochran calling in to give me some advice, maybe a Todd Manley calling in, because that's reserved for sort of in-house, and we didn't know who was calling. Mark Carmen didn't even mention to us that the great Adam Hogue would be calling in at 3:20.
Well, this won't surprise Adam at all that I was slightly unorganized for just a minute in time. Right, Hoagie? That would never happen with me.
No, but that is, I believe that's my personal line that they gave me.
Yeah, that's the Adam Hogue line.
When I came over to the station. So, yeah, that is reserved for me, and I call it in emergencies. And I feel like this is an emergency. Adam Hogue at a Cubs spring training game with Chris Bryant leaning off with Anthony Rizzo batting second. This qualifies as an emergency for the Beat.
And right now, 2-1 top of 5, correct? Any highlights in through 4.5 innings of baseball?
Well, I got to be honest. I've missed about half this game so far, caring for my little son who's made friends with a 14-month-old Reds fan.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, we are. It's been good so far. Cubs are losing. I got to be honest. I have no idea how they scored their one run. I did see Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant definitely struck out looking to start the first inning. That was a little downer when they basically only have two of their four regulars, if you include Montero and Solaire's in the lineup too today. But you know, I got to say, for a Saturday sold out extravaganza here with, by the way, Sloan Park.
Awesome, right?
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This stadium is a million times better than Camelback, where the White Sox split with the Dodgers. Camelback's a nice stadium, but it's also empty. The parking lots here at Sloan Park were very similar to a college football game. I'm not even kidding. There were kegs out there, huge tailgates. So I'd say coming to Cubs spring training is kind of like going to a college football game. Going to a White Sox game in spring training is kind of like going to a White Sox game.
Well, I was out there a couple years ago, and they really did a great job. There's sort of a lot of Chicago vibe to it. There's a giant sign out in left field telling you where the nearest Portillo's is because they built a Portillo's out there, which is
it's
just down the street.
It's about 50 feet away from me right now.
Yeah. So they did a really cool job. It's a great, great stadium.
And since Adam doesn't actually know what's going on in the game, I will report that Miggy Montero's 2-for-2 hitting cleanup today. Rizzo's 0-for-2. He's left a couple men on. Solaire's 0-for-2. So that really gets you caught up. Shane Victorino's playing right field today.
Trevor Cahill, 2 innings pitched, scoreless innings pitched. We could see him get some spot starts this season.
But the reason why we wanted to have you on, Adam, more than anything else, is that you paid how much a ticket to go to a spring training game today?
Yeah, we are at a $43 piece for the tickets today. Now, I will report that my seats are in the front row, down the left field line. very, very Bartman-esque area. And I haven't been able to confirm this, but the guy sitting behind us claims he was in the Bartman 30 for 30 documentary as the guy that admitted he wanted to beat Steve Bartman up. I don't know if you've seen the documentary and if you remember that.
Oh, I remember.
There is a guy in there that is like not afraid at all to say that he still hates the guy and wanted to beat him up.
So,
and I think that guy sitting directly behind me in seats that are basically where Steve Bartman seats were.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Does he only watch baseball games down the left left field foul line?
We need to work this out. I will, by the time the game's over, I'll try to figure out who this guy is and if he's telling the truth or not.
The things that interest me, number one, is it really like sold out to the point that there's no seats available in there?
Yes, it's completely full. And yeah, to get back to the tickets, there's no tickets available as of yesterday, so I had to go to StubHub to buy tickets.
Can you believe this?
StubHub for spring training.
Yeah, and for the record, the face value is $28, and we paid $43. You add in the service fees, and we're talking about $60 a pop. By comparison, you could spend $9 over at Camelback, go to a Sox game, move up to the front row, and have basically a whole row to yourself.
What they have built and the lunacy of Cub fans is it's just amazing. That just keeps going and going and going.
It's impressive.
Adam Hogue, $180 deep on a spring training game, which he has seen zero action and is walking around with 14-month-old Red fans. Why don't you go enjoy yourself, Adam? You're the best.
I will. Love you guys. Keep it strong. And for the record, just so our listeners know, I am not down here for work, strictly for pleasure. And that is why I have no idea what's going on in the baseball game.
Thank you for clarifying. I should have said that. And very much so, if you were working, you'd know every detail to the gills. We know this.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
All right, Adam.
Thanks,
Adam. Have a good show.
Yep. Adam Hogue down in spring training. Can you believe that? $43 on StubHub for a spring training game? Now, granted, it's a Saturday. We're crazy, honestly.
The sports world in general is madness. What people pay for sports TV channels, for tickets, for $150 jerseys, and now Adam Hogue dropping a few bills on a spring training game.
200 deep for a spring training game. That's outstanding. All right, hey, taxi cab driver Bob, you're on hold, so go ahead. 312-981-7200. What do you got, man?
How are you guys doing? I saw the other in one of the, you know, in spring training, you can't take things too seriously, but they had Baez in center field, and he made some atrocious errors out in the field. The guy strikes out on a consistent basis, and I just wanted to get your take on if he's going to be one of the odd men out and maybe have him in another piece for a top-line pitcher. But one other thing that I heard rumors back a while ago was that you tried to get Jordan to go to another radio station because he was stealing all your girlfriends. Is that true?
No, it's definitely not true.
That is inaccurate. But KP's going to take your Javi Baez concern, taxi cab driver. Always love you calling in, my brother.
Hey, okay.
Thank you. Go ahead,
thanks
KP.
Thanks for the call.
Tackle Javi?
We are in game three of spring training. Give Javi a little slack. He recognized he was really bad in center field, his first game out there. Joe Maddon addressed that. He talked to Javi about it. Give him some time. Baez is getting moved. He was playing first base yesterday. As of right now, he's Rizzo's backup.
Yep.
And Rizzo's going to start, 160 games at first anyway, so you don't really have to worry about that. So I would say relax. Taxi cab driver Bob, it's three games into spring training. But I will say this. He's not wrong in that he could be a chip that could be moved as potential trade bait down the road.
Right. If that rotation falters, the Javi Baez, the Jorge Soler, they're out there along with a bunch of guys in the minors who could go. I wouldn't play Rizzo, by the way, 150 games at first. I'd shoot for a 145. Okay. Give me a 145. One day a week off for the Riz. He gets a little tired as the season goes on. But listen, Javi's a great athlete. He'll be fine. We can tackle a little bit more of that, and we will hit up on the White Sox side as well. The Athletic Chicago's a new website. Sahadev Sharma is a longtime baseball writer, and he will join us after the 3:30 news. Quick timeout on 720 WGN. WGN. Thanks for having us on a Saturday afternoon. It's The Beat here till 7 o'clock. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Kevin Powell. Hear him on the mornings with Steve Cochran. KP, you're actually going out to spring training, you stud, you.
I am. March 14th, I'm flying out to the desert, and I'm excited. I'll be covering it for the station for about a week.
Do you need an assistant? Can I help you out? Have you talked to Patty Vasquez the way I assisted her at Marine Corps training? Because I'd be willing to do anything I can to help you help yourself and all the, and the station all at the same time.
I would love to have you join me. You're going to have to talk to the Deacon and Coach Manley about, you know, flight fare and hotel stay. That's up to you, Carm. But if you can manage that, let's go hang out together.
Okay. I will talk to upper management, Mike Jacobson, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran, Rokan, everybody else included. I consider, how many bosses do you have at WGN? I consider myself to have 12. How many do you have?
12. Yeah, probably around there.
All right. There. So we're on the same level. Also a boss of mine joining us on the air right now, Sahadev Sharma from the Athletic Chicago new website. Follow it, be there, live it. And Sahadev knows more about baseball than baseball knows about itself. I feel like he's a boss of mine, too, because whenever I want to talk baseball, I feel like my opinions have to be approved by Sahadev. Ain't that right, Sahadev?
Pretty much, Carm. I mean, let's be real. All of your opinions need to be approved by someone. We can't just have you putting stuff out there without approval.
And I think that's a wise move for me in my career, and that's what that's why I'm signing up for it. Hey, have you... have you seen Jake Arrieta do Pilates? And in your expert opinion, and you break down every stat that's ever been available anywhere, is it a plus sign for a pitcher if you can do the splits like Arrieta can, both right side and left side, and his balance and something along those lines has to compute into a FIP or an ex-FIP or something, Sahadev?
You know, we all have seen him do it. Most of the people that cover the Cubs have seen it because the Pilates room is in the interview room, or the Pilates machine is in the interview room where we interviewed Joe Maddon. So every once in a while, we'll actually interrupt Jake Arrieta doing Pilates. So, you know, you joke, but I think it does help him as far as balance on the mound and repeating his mechanics. I think he believes that, and I think there is something to that. So, you know, there's no statistic to measure his Pilates acumen, but it certainly is something that that helps him on the mound in a way. You know, you can't blame a guy for being in pristine shape, and I think it helps him in many, many ways.
And I think he convinced Jason Hamill to jump on the Pilates train as well. So it's catching on with the team. But I want to focus on the Cubs here just for a minute. And I'm looking at this team and I'm trying to nitpick. I'm trying to find a hole somewhere where maybe we can say, oh, that looks like a weak spot here. That looks like a weak spot there. It's hard to find it. This team is stacked. This roster has been crafted very well, obviously, by the front office. But the one thing, I guess, that does stick out a little bit to me is the starting rotation. John Lackey's 37. Can Arrieta match the season he did had last year? The back end of the rotation, a little iffy. Is that an area of concern at all for you? And is there anything else that's glaring on this roster that's sticking out for you?
You know, that's not a concern for me just because I like Kyle Hendricks a lot. I think Kyle Hendricks is pretty good. It's more about the latter months for me for both Hamill and Hendricks. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well they can, if they can stay strong. And like you mentioned, Hamill's did more this offseason as far as getting his body in shape. It was his core and his lower body just specifically so he could last deeper into the season. He didn't want to use injuries or anything like that as an excuse for his failures in the past couple second halves. Yeah, it's not a huge concern for me, but I get where you're coming from, and I understand Kyle Hendricks isn't you know, the type of guy that blows anyone away. He has a devastating changeup, and he gets the job done, but he often, you know, he throws 89, 90 miles per hour. That's not going to, you know,
set off any alarms as a great player, so to say. And, you know, Arrieta's not going to match last year. That's impossible, in my mind, at least. I know in his mind he thinks he can match it and do better. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's really a realistic expectation. But if it's not a drastic drop-off, that's fine. That's still Cy Young level if you're just a little bit below Arrieta. And I think Lester is going to take a step up. I think Lester is going to be better as far as the overall results go. I think he's got that first year in, first full season outside of Boston, move the family, all that stuff. We'll see how it works out. But I talked to him in spring training, and he seemed really at ease and a lot better and more comfortable in the situation than he was last year. So I expect him to have a nice season. Blackie's just the type of guy that age doesn't really seem to affect him.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's got devastating stuff or anything out there. He's more of a guy that just goes out there and gets the job done. Yeah, it's a question. It's a legit and valid question to wonder if he can keep it up. With him as well, it's tough to match last year because he was better than we've seen in a while. But if he's just average, that's fine for your number three starter. I think the key with him is going deep into games and eating up innings, so you're not using up that bullpen because you can't rely on Hendricks and Hamill to go 7, 8, 9 innings.
So, if there is a weakness, what is it? Nothing? We got nothing here? That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at the roster up and down, and I can't find anything that's sticking out to me.
You tackle this, but I just know that just like last year, I've got plenty of weaknesses I can point out, but please go ahead.
You know, I mean, the bullpen, if you're not convinced, the bullpen can always be a weakness just because that's the most volatile spot in everyone's team. Guys, unless you have, the Yankees bullpen, you're going to have a few guys that have a down year that was unexpected. But you also have a chance of a few guys that can't come out of nowhere and have really good seasons. So it's hard to feel really secure about a bullpen. But I like this bullpen. Now with the re-signing of Fowler, it's hard to really nitpick. I thought maybe the corner outfield spots could be an issue, but majority of the time you're going to be fine with defense in the outfield because you have the depth to put the guys in the spots that you want to, especially if you have a lead late in the game. So they've really fixed things up with Fowler coming back. Even if – I guess, you know, if you want to really nitpick, you can say playing time. And these guys – can these guys get in the groove? Are you stunting the development of Schwarber and Soler by not giving them 140 starts, 150 starts a year because now you're battling for playing time in the outfield? And can Schwarber really be a legit catcher and catch 20, 30, 40 games if that's what he needs to happen? Because Montero will wear down. So there are little things that you can point to. But I think in the long run, the depth helps because you want these guys to get some rest and hopefully be ready to play in October.
Well, okay, now you're getting to one area that I wanted to touch on. So correct me if I'm wrong, but there's an average of 600 plate appearances by position, Sadov. I know you're a math guy. Let's all stay together. 600 by position, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the outfield, that's three positions. 600 times three equals?
1,800.
Exactly right, 1,800. So now we got four guys, and we got to divide that around. Correct me if I'm wrong, four divided by 1,800 is?
Oh, what is it, 400 and something, 75?
450, close enough.
450.
That's four. So technically, if you wanted to split it evenly, you'd have 450 at-bats for all four of them. Now, they're not going to do that, right? So you're going to give probably at least 500 to, let's say, the top three, right? So that still leaves you with a nice 300 at-bats with the guy in the four slot, to which to me is a Jorge Soler. So 500 each, Schwarbs, Fowler, Hayward, 300 Soler. When we talk to you, when we talk,
assuming,
yes, go
and
ahead.
That's assuming Schwarber doesn't catch at all.
Exactly.
So you could find more spots. So I think are you arguing that there isn't really a playing time issue?
I'm arguing that a skilled manager like Joe Maddon shouldn't have much trouble finding opportunities
okay.
here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's fair. I think Maddon is the exact guy that you want managing the situation. It is when the signing first happened, I think it kind of threw everyone for a loop for multiple reasons, but just adding him and kind of cluttering up the outfield confuse people, and the ultimate answer was, well, a guy like Joe Maddon will figure it out. He's the guy that can. If anybody can do this, it's him. For some other managers, A, it may be tough for them to convince the players to buy into this, like, hey, I'm going to take away some of your playing time because of this guy and this guy. But the players are going to buy in because they know Madden will figure it out. They know what the ultimate goal is, and this helps them reach that ultimate goal. And Madden even said, Madden isn't, you know, trying to trick us all and say, oh, yeah, I have it all figured out. It's going to be easy. He even admitted if they're all healthy, it'll work out. I'll figure it out, but I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it right now. But I'll figure it out. Give me a couple weeks in spring training to see how everyone looks, see what makes sense, and by the time the season starts, I'll have a plan.
You're listening.
So I think you could buy that from him.
Sorry to clip you there, Sahadev. And by the way, you are listening to Sahadev Sharma. Follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. I'll have you spell that on your own. Do that on Twitter. And by the way, this is 720 WGN. You're Kevin Powell. I'm Mark Harmon. It's The Beat. We're going to move on to the White Sox in 1 second. But I know you're a numbers guy. Again, have I mentioned that, I think, a couple times?
Yes, you have, Carm.
Thank you for confirming that, KP. You've got. I want to know what you learned about the numbers here, Sahadev, because John Lackey threw a ton of innings at 37 years old, and Jake Arrieta threw 90 more innings last year, and John Lester's no spring chicken either, although he's been healthy basically his entire career. Are you concerned about the workload of these guys?
For Lackey, no, because for all of them, not really, because the biggest indicator of future injury is past injury. Lackey has the one big Tommy John, but other than that, his slate's pretty clean. The other two, nothing major. Arrieta, you're right, it's 90 in the big leagues, but it's actually a 70-inning jump overall because he threw 20 minor league innings in 2014. That's nitpicking again, but I'm more concerned about, as far as how he comes out in April, maybe. But I think Madden knows to kind of ease him into the season. He understands he had a big workload. A lot of times when you see this big inning jump, what happens is they're a little slow out of the gate. But I think Madden knows how to handle it. And even if Arrieta isn't dominant Arrieta out of the gate, he wasn't dominant Arrieta out of the gate last year. You know, he didn't really find his groove until June and July. So it wouldn't be the end of the world. They have guys that can pick up the slack. The innings for everyone, these are guys that are built to do that, I guess. You know, so we've seen them do it consistently, and I think you just expect them to do that and be healthy throughout the season because that's what they've done. If these are guys with little nagging injuries, it'd be a lot more concerning.
All right, well, let's flip over to the White Sox, and they have the opposite problem of the Cubs, a lack of depth and a couple glaring holes, particularly in right. You're not sure what Avi Garcia is going to bring to the table, and that shortstop position, an aging Jimmy Rollins. You're still a year or two away from seeing their top position player prospect, Tim Anderson, making the bigs. What are you expecting from this team moving forward? And there were some reports this week about the Sox going to get another left-handed bat, maybe to play right field. Have you heard anything more about that?
You know, there's been a lot of buzz about that the last couple of days, and I'm trying to figure out exactly who it could be. If it really is just an outfield bat or specifically a lefty, but I know there was Carlos Gonzalez's name was out there, which makes sense. Jay Bruce doesn't make any sense to me because what the White Sox need is consistency, and that is the last thing that he provides. Someone mentioned Josh Reddick, and I think that, you know, that could make sense because that's a younger guy that you could actually keep around for a couple of years. I just don't know what it would take to get one of these guys. They don't want to trade Fulmer or Anderson, so teams are going to be looking at those guys for an impact bat like Carlos Gonzalez. Yeah, Carlos Gonzalez is a little older, and I want to say he has a year or two left on his deal, so I don't think the White Sox want to pay a ton for guys like that. So if they can get someone without giving up those two, yeah, I expect a deal. But it seems like it's going to happen because Rick Hahn is pretty open and honest about it, saying that it's going to, you know, they're working on things. Talk to any of the players in that locker room, and they all agree that something else is going to happen. Yeah. So they don't think the team is done. So I think there's another move coming, and I think it's going to be, it's not going to be some guy that they pick up off the scrap heap.
So, Sahadev, as we let you go, you are expecting a Subway Series come October?
I wouldn't go that far. You know, I want to pick the Cubs to do it, but it's hard to it's hard to really go gung-ho, especially when they're the favorite. I want to go and look up and see the last time a favorite actually coming into the season actually won it all. So it just feels like baseball is just one of those random sports where the favorite rarely wins. But, you know, the Cubs are definitely the best team on paper, and I think the White Sox have enough to get to the playoffs. Just a lot of things have to go right. You know, they need Melky to bounce back, and they can't have, if they're going to give Adam LaRoche a significant amount of bats, he can't perform like he did last year. But they've upgraded everywhere, and it didn't take a lot to upgrade some of those spots, but they still upgraded, even though some of these guys may not look like huge upgrades, like Brett Lowry. He is. He's a big upgrade compared to what they had last year, which just goes to show how weak that team was last year on offense and defense.
No doubt. Sahad, congrats on the new gig. Everybody should be checking out theathletic.com. You're doing a phenomenal job over there, and a great piece, by the way. And if you want to learn about how long you want to have your bat in the zone and long and fast and quick and up on an Avisail Garcia, you can really, in today's piece, you can live the dream for like hours reading his piece and follow-up pieces. Sahad, you're the best, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And Sahad is he's a great baseball man. And all over the place. There's breaking Illinois news.
Lots of reports coming out, Carm.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it next. A very familiar name could be the next head coach of the Fighting Illini. We'll do that coming back here, 720 WGN.
We still haven't played our best ball. We get an opportunity to come back home against the Bears and play our best ball. So there's a lot for us to still accomplish.
You remember that voice. And if you did just have a little bit of a queasiness come over you, it's okay.
You were a Lovey hater, too?
I wasn't a hater, but he did make me want to drive into a tree and not necessarily injure myself, but perhaps just dent my car. It was so boring, man. Just it's so snooze-oriented. Why are we playing Lovey Smith? And by the way, welcome back, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. Ryan Baker, at Ryan Baker Media, CBS 2 Chicago, with the money tweet. Some credible sources are telling me Lovey Smith will be the next Illini head football coach.
Your initial thought, Carm?
My initial thought is that it's would make sense from a Lovey standpoint. You just got fired by Tampa Bay. You've been fired by the Bears. You're never getting another head coaching gig in the NFL. Do you want to run your own program or go back to being a defensive coordinator if you want to continue working? Which, by the way, Lovey clearly does not need the money, or at least he shouldn't. But if you want to continue to work, which I think most people do in life, you don't want to sit on your couch and just play golf or whatever. You want to have
That sounds pretty awesome.
It does. It does. But you know, I think when you get older, KP, as I'm moving into my late 60s over here, you realize that being active is a good thing. I think this is a chance to, you know, run your own program, go to the college level. You can connect with the youth of America. I think that might be appealing to him. From a Illinois standpoint, who are you getting? I mean, I don't think it's a sexy hire. I don't love it, but it's a credible hire.
It's what we talked about at the top, Carm. This is sort of the hire I had a feeling they were going for. Someone who will have full control of the program, someone who has run NFL franchises, essentially. I mean, he basically ran it from top to bottom, and he'll bring some he'll stabilize the program. I think this is an interesting hire if it happens.
Well, and by the way, if you're just joining us and you're not following the news of the day, Bill Cubitt, who was the head coach of your Fighting Illini on a two-year deal after being the interim head coach after Tim Beckman was fired after his disastrous tenure down there. First day on the job for new athletic director Josh Whitman. He walked into Cubitt's office this morning at 10:30, said, quote, "I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let your son, offensive coordinator Ryan Cubitt, go. Here's the termination letters." 5-minute meeting, and that was it for Cubitt down in Illinois. So now following the news cycle, people, of course, making their calls, and it's coming out that Lovey Smith, David Haw, also of the Tribune, talking about, you know, a lot of people saying that this seems real, that Lovey Smith is in high, high consideration. And we talked about the beginning of the show, you don't fire the Rubik's Cube unless you know where you're going, right? It's going to be a shocking, unpopular. You just gave this guy $1 million a year that you have to pay.
Right.
The state's broke, by the way.
The Cubitt firing was a work in progress for a while now, from what we've been hearing. it was just a matter of time before Whitman had the first day on the job, which is today. This is his first day on the job, and he fires the head coach. Lovie Smith, I'm sure that name had been tossed around by the boosters, the trustees, and the entire school. So it sounds like it's going to happen. We'll continue to follow it. And Shannon Ryan with the Trib joins us after the 5 o'clock news with the latest.
312-981-7200 if you do want to react, Illini fans. ILL.
INI.
Yeah. And we got a little more baseball coming at you. There's actually a huge story in the social media, but Scott Miller, MLB, who knows the national game, will get a little national perspective on what's going on at spring training to start the 4 o'clock hour as we continue to follow the Illinois story and Jimmy Butler's return to the Bulls tonight. You coming with me to the game? Bulls Rockets?
Are you inviting me right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll come with you.
Really?
No.
You got me excited that you were going to come and then nothing. I'm very...
Are you covering it or you have tickets?
We'll get you in. We'll make it work. I know people. 720 WGN. All right. Now we're back rolling here. 720 WGN.
Ready to embarrass ourselves?
Yeah. So tomorrow morning...
And we're going to plug this, obviously. And this is a great event. It's a great organization.
It is. It's the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. Climb is tomorrow morning. WGN is going to be meeting at 8 a.m., the radio and the TV. They got a table there. We're supposed to climb in two separate groups. Tons of people are coming out. Marie McDonald, one of the fine employees here, is driving this event, and a ton of us have jumped on. 8:15, 8:20, there's four towers. So it's
Prudential,
you know,
Towers.
Presidential Towers. It's
Prudential.
You know, what'd I call it?
Presidential? It's Prudential Towers.
My bad.
No, it is. Wait, it is Presidential Towers.
Yeah, it's the Presidential Towers, dude.
What? All right, my bad.
Prudential.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking.
Presidential. 555.
All right, Presidential Towers, yeah.
Kevin and I will be out there signing autographs or not, because Kate, I actually have a legitimate excuse.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I have a very...
Tell them what the excuse is, and then we'll decide if that's a legit excuse.
8 a.m. tomorrow, I'm supposed to play in a hot tennis match. Very important tennis match with my buddy Kevin out in the burbs. It's a Sunday morning thing. That's what we do. I didn't know we were climbing so early. There was like a 7 to noon window, so I thought that would be all right. And I've been out of town this week, and I was a little out of the mix, so I forgot that we have an air climb and a tennis. So my excuse, what I'm willing to do, Kevin, is play my tennis and then come by a little bit later. Not actually go up the towers with WGN, but do it at my own pace, you know, around 10:30 or 11 o'clock, and then head on out to Northwestern, give Dave Ennett a hug, and take in win number 8 of the Big Ten season when they play Nebraska on Senior Day. By the way, Wildcat Insider, the 6 o'clock hour. You, on the other hand, you just want to get out of this thing.
Okay, first of all, because you have to play tennis on a Sunday morning is not a legit excuse to get out of a charitable event raising money for the American Lung Association.
Your opinion.
Okay, the listeners, I'm sure, will be chiming in 312-981-7200. That's not a legit excuse.
What's your excuse?
All right. I'm not even kidding. And Mike observed this. Mike, back me up here. I was limping into Tribune Tower today. I woke up with some sort of Charlie horse situation in my left thigh.
Charlie horse.
It feels like a Charlie horse.
I've watched you during the show walk up and back and talk to Jacobson. And
I was limping.
I didn't notice any limp.
I was limping, Carm. It hurts. All right.
How'd you hurt it?
I don't know. Slept on it weird. I thought it was weird.
So look, we've got a tennis match and a Charlie horse as the two excuses not to attend a charitable event,
right,
correct?
Right, so this is the question we're throwing out there, and this is when we really come off as complete jerks. We're looking for some great excuses. You got any go-to excuses to get out of something? 312-981-7200. Feel free to text or call. Do you have a go-to? Normally it's like an upset stomach is, I think, what people are normally using. And, you know, the my grandma or grandpa died is, that's just a little over the top. So if you've got an excuse that you use to get out of work, to get out of events that you don't want to go to. Now, I will say this. I've raised money for this event.
You have?
Yes.
Okay, that's one
so
of us.
So I've raised money that's going to the American Lung Association. So then after you file the money, file the donation, the climbing the stairs, I mean, I don't see why I would absolutely have to be there for that.
How much money have you raised?
over 100. I hit up my family today because I realized I was at zero, and you need to raise at least $100 to run in this thing.
Who in your family donated? That's outstanding.
Everybody. That's my parents put some cash down, my brothers, my sister.
Well, listen, on a serious note, everybody has been touched by cancer, most likely.
Yes.
I certainly have in my family, so and I have donated myself to the cause, so that has been taken care of. But, you know, there's... Giving money is one thing, but giving your time and hobbling through an injury like you're dealing with, that's almost more important because you're there to support.
That's true.
You know, so I really think, Kevin, quite frankly, that you should be there. And I think, actually, what I think is a better plan for us is for me and you to both meet at 10 a.m., make that 10:30. 10:30 a.m. at the Towers and go side by side. Are you in for a 10:30? We could foam roll your whole situation out if you want, and then we'll take on four Towers. It'll be good for you. Last time we did an overnight show. What was that show called?
The One and Duns or the Second Stringers. All right. 217, the listener's chiming in here. 217 says, "Be aware your Charlie horse could be a blood clot." Carm. What?
Nah, I don't buy
blood
it.
Clot.
You don't have a blood clot. Mike in Indiana, where are you at on this? What's the excuse? Who are you feeling? Talk to us.
Okay, my excuse, which I've used multiple times, is my wife is having her ladies' days, and I gotta be there to help her.
She's having her what?
What could you possibly do on, as you put it, your wife's ladies' days?
The thing is that's when you gotta be there and love her up so that she knows no matter how big. You ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yes. I love Ray Romano and Mike. I'm going to put you on hold. I love you too, but that's an excuse.
I don't have a wife or a lady to use that excuse.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No girlfriend, Carm.
Your mom? I mean, now you wouldn't use that excuse, but maybe like you could like be helping your mom out to do something, perhaps.
Sure.
I mean, would she vouch for you? Is she in your corner like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she'll probably make me feel bad about it, but I think she'd back me up.
Text line 630, tennis, maybe, but I have to give it to the Charlie horse, only because if sleeping gives you a physical injury, climbing stairs will kill you.
That's a valid point, 630, and I'm rolling with that.
All right, we got to get into the news, but a little more calls on how to get out of this coming back. 312-981-7200. Bob Kessler has your 430 news in a minute on 720 WGN. Ooh, I like this one.
Carm's dancing.
Jacobson coming strong. You know the name of this tune, KP?
No.
Come on.
This is by Shakira.
Yes.
And it's The Way I Move or something?
Hips don't lie, dude. Come on. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. 720 WGN, this is The Beat. I'm Mark Carman. He is Kevin Powell, 312-981-7200. Both of us are supposed to be contributing to the world, contributing to a great charity, and supporting by doing American Lung Association, Fight for Air Climb. I just wanted the right name for what we're doing.
Yes.
Going to the presidential towers tomorrow morning.
Lung.org to donate.
Lung.org to donate. Getting a text here. I'll donate $10, but only if you want to read that word there, Kevin?
Let's see here.
That'll be the top text.
But only if you wimps climb and on time. Climb on time, donate a dime.
That's from our guy, Squadron Hatzel. Squad Hatzel, my guy. Kevin doesn't want to go tomorrow morning because you've got a bad hamstring. Now, you have raised money.
So I went to go get a coffee during that news break.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the hour news just flies by.
By the way, it's a long trip to the coffee. You were able to get there and be back.
Perfect timing. But I was a little worried, so I started like sort of a half jog, you know, like jogging back to the elevator. The situation has gotten worse, Carm. The thigh is in pain, and the running did not help.
You know that when you're doing a stair climb, you're not actually running. You're just walking upstairs, right? There's no sprinting at any point in time.
Well, if I did it, I want to win, Carm. So I'll be going fast.
That won't be happening.
This isn't some casual stroll up a flight of stairs.
There's professional climbers. You're not winning. I mean, these guys are going to do it in 15 minutes. You have zero chance of winning.
I want to win in the WGN group, the Enit to Win It group.
You're not winning that one either.
That's the one thing. I just feel like I'm letting Dave down. It's Dave's team.
I mean, Dave is your boss, is he not?
Yeah, because I'm in.
See, you say, yeah. When somebody asks me, Dave Enn is my boss, I say, yes, he is.
Damn straight he is.
You hesitated. I would never.
Yeah, he
hesitate.
Is, because you know I do sports stuff, and he's a sports director. So yeah, he's one of the bosses.
Right. Well, so we're actually looking for excuses on how to get out of this, because nobody at the station's listening right now is our bet. 312-981-7200, how to get out of being a good person and doing the air climb, even if you we have raised money, or at least Kevin has.
We've raised a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, but we have a surprise caller, guest line. Don't know who this is. A little bit nervous. Welcome, surprise caller, 720 WGN.
Kevin. Charm.
Yes.
Oh. It's Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Boyd.
My favorite person on the planet, who I just traveled with for a week, Patty Vasquez, joining us. You love her pretty late, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Hi, Patty.
Hi, boys. I just want to say this first. Carm, nobody cares.
Well said. Thank you. Patty, by the way, is doing the climb tomorrow. And
her and Dave are leading the charge. There are leaders in this whole venture.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But first of all, I want to go back and say, Carm, you were a total badass on that course, Maneuvers Under Fire. You were amazing. And completely, I blew my mind. But you're not blowing off the charity, so you're going. I don't know why you have to defend yourself. You're just doing it later. Kevin.
Yeah, see, Carm, you're going. I got a medical situation here.
I just want you to know, when people pledge for you, they're pledging for you to climb in support of your efforts. So I think that you owe it to them.
Well, it was my family, so I can kind of get away with it.
10:15, me and you, buddy. Come on.
How about if I pledge this? I will. I'm going to do the climb at 18, and I'll come back and hang out with you guys, and I'll at least climb the first tower with you to do a fifth tower with you.
How difficult? Because you did this last
did you
year,
hear
right?
Did you hear what she just said? She's going to do four towers and then come back with you at 10:15. That is one of the greatest.
Well, Patty's
an
in
honor.
Phenomenal shape, but you know I'm looking at my tally here, and everyone's supposed to get to $100, and my whole family told me they were going to donate. It looks like only my younger brother donated about $30, so my family needs to get on that. So you guys are listening, go to that link I sent you and donate right now.
So, considering you've already said you don't want to climb, I don't know how you go back.
Well, because I want to donate to the cause. You know what
right.
I mean? So I still want to. I still want to give money, and then I'll feel not as bad that I gave. You know, because I gave money.
You will surprise yourself with this event. If people are, I think it's a little daunting to hear 180 floors, or even the first building, which is 45 floors. It is really. It's so manageable, Kevin. We believe in you. We know you can do this. Come on.
All right. Well, if my injury here heals up by tomorrow morning, I'll see you there, Patty.
All right. Alternate hot and cold, just like me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Patty, you're the best.
Bye, guys.
Hoorah! Right. Hoorah! God, the bond that I have with
you
Patty.
You guys are so cute together,
Carm. It was so much fun.
Let's get back to quality excuses.
Quality excuses.
Getting out of stuff. You have an excuse in your pocket that you like to use every once in a while.
You got more pressure on you now that Patty's willing to climb another tower just with you, just so you know. Dan in Deerfield, you're on 720 WGN with quality excuses for the fight for air climb. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I think one that might work, this only kind of works if you have a deep bench in the family. So you kind of got to go with, well, my cousin, his daughter, Renice, she's got to get her boat out of dry dock. Otherwise, they're going to hit her up with a $1,700 fine. You know, people hear, they don't hear the fact that they can afford a boat. They just hear $1,700 fine. Wow. Well, you know, that, we understand. You got the truck with the hitch. So, yeah.
Dan, that's well thought out. You're dropping numbers in. People zone out when numbers get involved. I like it.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even know what Dan said. I zoned out so hard. Boat, dry dock, that's like, what are you?
You got to move the boat or there's going to be, exactly, that's the point. So if you tell someone, they're all confused. They don't give a, okay, fine, go move the boat.
Yeah, if they don't know what a dry dock is, if dry dock handles the moving of the boat, they're not going to get fined. They just move the boat.
Dan, you just heard what Patty said, though, that she'd do another tower just with Kevin. Shouldn't that move Kevin to action?
Yes, it would. I mean, come on. Of course.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you. Thank you for holding on. 312-981-7200. Dan wants you to do the climb.
I need Kevin some Powell. People, even if you don't believe it, just maybe send in a text. I need someone to be on board with me not doing this.
Shar is in Algonquin. I believe this is the Shar that I've been traveling with this past week with the Marine Corps. Shar, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Oh, Char, you were so fantastic with all your effort this week. And to hear my co-host here, Kevin Pyle, say that he can't climb up four flights of stairs, this has to be incredibly disappointing to you.
It is totally disappointing to me. You can totally handle it.
Here's the thing. It's not so much doing the climb. I'm not that worried about the climb. Here's the thing. We got to be there at about 7:30, 7:45 tomorrow morning.
I just backed you up to 10:15.
Well, Mark, did you tell him how early you had to be up every day to do all the
Oh, Char, my normal duties here at the radio station involve producing the morning show. I have a 2:30 wake up every day. I'm used to it. That's why the weekends I need to catch up on as much sleep as possible.
There you go. So I guess that's your excuse for you.
Yeah.
But what about the other guy? That's not a good enough excuse for him.
Carm? Yeah, Carm playing tennis? That's a horrible excuse.
Char, you know, Patty Vasquez, myself, and Shanae and Jackie, who work at the station, we were all out in San Diego for a week learning about what the Marines do as the Educators Workshop. It was an absolutely phenomenal experience, and I gained so much respect. Char was one of the educators on there. Char, where do you teach at?
I teach at Jacobs High School in Algonquin.
Right, so it was mostly teachers, and we were all doing some of the drills that Marines do, not as well as the Marines do them, or half as well, or probably even a tenth as well. But so that was a tremendous experience, and Char said she was going to call in on the show, and she has come through. She's followed through, and she's here right now. This should motivate you, Kevin Powell.
Stop trying to put this on me, Carm. You're trying to get out of it by playing tennis. Your little Sunday morning tennis match. That's cute, Carm.
I just want to go a little bit later in the day. I'm more than happy to do it.
I'll have to check my schedule on that.
Char, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
All right. That's my new friend, Char.
Yeah. 815 says, neither is an excuse. Pretend to be adults and fulfill your obligations. Would you excuse out on a golf outing with a listener? Absolutely not. It was a golf outing to be going.
815, I use that I was dizzy from an inner ear infection, making it dangerous as my excuse.
That's a good one, especially since we're climbing stairs. I mean, I can't risk that. What if I fell?
You could go inner ear. Inner ear is,
inner ear strong. It's a front runner right now.
That's a
first round excuse right there, inner ear.
Would Dave Ennett ever go inner ear? You know that Dave Ennett has to call a basketball game after the stair climb.
Yeah, Dave Ennett would not, he's just he's perfection all around. He wouldn't mess around with some sort of pathetic excuse that I'm about to throw down.
What's the chance that you're going to be there now that I've guilted you to this level and we'll move on?
Now I want to spite you and not go. So you're actually motivating me in some way.
You want to spite at the Carm on Twitter? That's not very nice.
Let's see here. I got to read this one through. This one could get dirty. A guy I know tried to get a medical marijuana card using phantom limb. He has all his limbs. This is not my go-to excuse.
And the last one that just came in just called us the softest people on the planet, and that we need to, grow up. And now I really cleaned up that tweet. But there was a lot of anger at the toughness of this radio tandem right now. You don't want to take us down to that level, right, where we're not looked upon as tough?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already established that we sound like a couple of...
773, no excuse. There are foot and knee braces. I mean, I'll get you a nice compression something.
Yeah, and someone just says, suck it up, drive on, soldier. So it's like we said, and we established this at the beginning, this is pathetic that we are trying to utilize your excuses to get out of an event tomorrow. The event we're talking about, because we're going to continue to plug this so we don't feel as bad. It's a Fight for Air climb. It's at Presidential Towers tomorrow. And there's four towers you can climb. Donate it if you can. Lung.org for more information. Team Ennett to win it is the WGN radio team. Some WGN TV folks will be out there as well. Lung.org is the place to go. It's at 540 West Madison Street tomorrow morning. Carm and I trying to figure out a quality excuse to use to get out of actually climbing the stairs.
I'm in. I'm going at 10:15. I'm going to miss the WGN team, but that's just the way it's going to go. I'm going tennis, then I'm going climb, then I'm going to Northwestern. And then
Can you get on board with like the full-in skipping this thing, Carm? Because now you are kind of making me feel bad.
No, I can't do it. I honestly can't do it. I love you. If you skip, that's your own, that's your deal, and I won't guilt you any more than I already have. I'll let it go right as we move on from the segment right now. But I would say that you should probably help Mike Jacobson move tomorrow because he's got a truck and people are asking him to move. which...
That would be a quality excuse, but I'd rather climb stairs and help someone move.
I mean,
helping
someone move is maybe the worst thing you can possibly do in life. I honestly, when my friends ask me to move, I'm like, listen, get everybody on the line. Let's all figure out how much it's going to cost for you to move, and I will donate my share. Let's get 200 people in there. We'll all give $3, and then you'll have movers. By the way, you should also register now through March 17th. You like that move? It's a good moving plan. Register now through March 17th for the WGN Radio Bracket Battle. It's sponsored by Alpamonte Ford. You can fill out your bracket, make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament, compete against your favorite WGN radio host. You can win cash prizes, a 2-year lease, Kevin Powell.
Wow, on a Ford Focus?
Yeah, 2016 Ford Focus, no less. Perfect 63-game bracket wins you...
$1 million.
$1 million. Person with the highest point total wins the 2-year lease from Alpamonte Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings and see how you stack up against the WGN Radio family. Register today. Get details at WGNRadio.com/bracket battle. As we said on the show, we're continuing to follow the Bill Cubitt firing and who was the next head coach of your Fighting Illini football team, with Lovie Smith apparently the front runner. But my favorite story of the week coming back here, and it involves a four-legged, but not necessarily your best friend, but somebody that sort of, do you know what I'm talking about, KP?
No, quality radio tease. I'm actually intrigued.
It's something that we all, this was my favorite story of the week, and it involves the White Sox, and it involves Major League Baseball, and it involves one of our friends. 720 WGN.
Swing and a drive! Left field and deep! Forget about it! Home run! Yoenis Cespedes! A 3-run rocket from Cespedes, and the Mets lead it 10-3.
Yoenis Cespedes from the New York Mets. Why are we talking about Yoenis Cespedes? A little bit odd on a Chicago radio show. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell at 720 WGN. That highlight courtesy of the Mets Radio Network. So Yoenis Cespedes is a very wealthy guy, although he's spending a lot of money on literally bringing a different car to spring training every single day. And apparently Yoenis just doesn't know what he wants to do with all his money. A lot of good causes out there, by the way, I could throw out to you, Yoenis, including donating to Kevin Powell's Fight for Air Climb.
Yes, lung.org. Check it out.
Yeah. So this is my favorite story of the week. The New York Mets sent out a semi-official statement. This was Wednesday, announcing that a 270-pound grand champion hog had been purchased by Yoenis for $7,000 at a 4-H club auction. Sounds like an amazing club. At the St. Lucie County Fair. Now, this hog that he bought was, or should I call it a hog or a pig? Does it matter? Hog, pig?
I'd go with hog.
I'm a little out of my expertise zone here. Okay, call it a hog. Any rate, for a second there was some debate that he had just bought this hog to be a pet.
Right.
But that is not legal. So Cespedes...
It's not legal?
Not legal to have as a pet.
In New York, where he lives? Is that what you're saying?
Yoenis Cespedes...
That can't be the case everywhere.
Well, this particular hog, in an email with the subject header pig, a team official wrote, "Can't believe I'm sending an email out about a pig, but we've gotten several questions about what's happening to the pig. So I wanted to make sure everyone has that same info. The animal can't be taken home as a pet. There is some sort of state law here in Florida that a hog bought in an auction must be slaughtered. So it's really not Yoenis' decision. It's just the rule. The pig is not a pet." Now, he might have thought he could have had a pet.
That's frightening.
So he bought a $7,000 pig. One dude. I don't know how many people are in his family. And I love bacon. But, you know, that's a lot of dough for some bacon.
That's why you get a giant industrial-sized freezer, Carm. You've got yourself pork chops for the entire year. You got bacon. Maybe smoke a pork shoulder. Delicious.
Well, and this is offensive to a lot of people.
Of course, PETA.
Yes, PETA.
Put out a statement, and they're sending him vegan bacon in hope that he'll open his heart, not clog it with pig fat. People at PETA clearly haven't tried regular bacon and all the wonder and joy that comes with it.
Right, and you know, locally, as we bring it back to Chicago, Deonner Navarro, who was a catcher for your Chicago Cubs, now a catcher for the Chicago White Sox, he's offended as well because Deonner actually has a pet pig. This is not a joke here. Yeah. He's got a micro pig named Sassy for his wife, which he bought as a Valentine's Day gift. Got the old micro pig. That's an out. Hey, honey, you know what I got you for Valentine's Day? A micro pig.
Micro pigs are going for about $850 these days, by the way.
Which is less than $7,000. Navarro said that micro pigs can live up to 30 years, an expected lifespan for greater than the 270-pound hog, by the way, that Johannes Cespedes purchased. And Navarro's quote is that this pig is going to live like a princess in my house.
So, this is obvious, though. How much did the other hog weigh? 270 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay, that thing was bred to be slaughtered and consumed. A micro pig was genetically engineered to be a pet for people. It's too big difference.
This is true, but I just want to know what it feels like just to have that type of money where you can do whatever you want. You can show up with 7 different sports cars at spring training and then, you know what, I'm just going to buy a pig. I'm going $7,000 pig today.
Yeah, and some of the cars he was rolling to spring training with were worth about $500,000, by the way. Terry Collins, manager of the New York Mets, not too happy with Johannes Cespedes. His playtime's over. It's time for baseball. Relax, Terry.
Johannes is allowed to do what he wants with his money, but when you see an athlete spending $7,000 on a pig and $500,000 on a car, and yes, he makes a ton of dough, and he's going to...
Playing Medina before a playoff game.
Right. You just think that, sir, have you seen the 30 for 30 documentary Broke? Because if you haven't, why don't you get that going on Netflix or wherever you can find it and look yourself in the mirror and think, you know, maybe I just don't need that $7,000 pig. Maybe that money might come in handy down the line. Or if you don't need it down the line, perhaps you can, you know, give it to a great cause.
We should have got Orion Samuelson on... about this, because nobody knows more about this stuff than Orion. I'll have to check in with him. I'll circle back with you.
All right. We can get that done. Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune is going to join us after the 5 o'clock news. Shannon, all over the Illinois story from way back all the way to Simon Savanovich, who was accusing Tim Beckman of forcing him to play through injuries, which was an enormous stir that basically was the start of Tim Beckman getting fired down at Illinois and then Bill Cubitt being in on an interim basis and Cubitt being let go today on the first day on the job by Josh Whitman. And now Lovie Smith is your potential new head coach for the Fighting Illini. So Lovie, back in the fold perhaps in the news around here we'll see. I mean, none of that is official, though his Wikipedia page says he's the head coach of the University of Illinois. So we'll talk to Shannon right after the news. Wow, just amazing. Right on time, KP.
Well done. On the button. I thought we still had a break.
No, we're just talking right up to news. That was just like Steve Cochran. I was channeling. Yeah,
right on time. Like Cochran.
I was right there. I don't know if this is nice. I mean, this is good riddance for Green Day. And Jacobson's playing this because Bill Cubitt has been fired from his post as the head coach of the Illini.
Had a good run.
A well-respected Bill Cubitt, but not the man for the job going forward, according to Illinois' new athletic director, Josh Whitman. First day on the job, firing the Illini football coach. Sir, you are no longer needed, and the rumors on Twitter is that Lovie Smith, who everybody remembers well, might be your new head coach of the Fighting Illini. We shall see. Shannon Ryan from the Tribune about to join us in a couple minutes here as we will. She's been all over the story, really, and everything going on in Illinois since the Tim Beckman abuse scandal days, if you will. So Shannon's been it's always awesome to talk to. So we're gonna do that in a second here. Lovie Smith, Kevin Powell, thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down.
I say thumbs up.
Really?
Yes, I do, because the word we've been throwing around is stability. That's what this program needs. This is a guy who's been around the block once or twice. He's been able to run a couple of NFL franchises or teams, rosters, and he really, when he was here in Chicago, the players loved him. I mean, he was That's the locker room, there was no issues there whatsoever.
They loved him in Tampa, too. They were players were very irritated that Lovey got fired, and we'll see how that works out for the Bucks going forward. And, you know, they had a disastrous first year, but they were certainly improving this past season, and Jameis Winston comported himself a lot better than he comported himself at Florida State in his first year. But let's bring in Shannon Ryan, who's covering the Illini football scene for us, for the Chicago Tribune. Shannon, thanks for taking time. Were you caught off guard like everybody else today, hearing that Bill Cuban was fired on the first day on the job?
Yeah, I was. Whitman acts fast. So, I didn't expect it. I don't think anyone really did. So, a bold move on his part, for sure.
Shannon, how much of this decision was made entirely by Josh Whitman? How much of it was made by, for lack of a better term, the higher-ups at U of I, the trustees, the board members? Last fall, interim AD says the two-year contract given to Cubitt was, quote, obviously it's not ideal, but for now I don't think we'll put a dagger in the heart of the program. Not exactly a lot of confidence in him. So how much was the decision by Whitman? How much made by some of the higher-ups at U of I?
Well, I mean, I think everyone could see the writing on the wall a little bit that Cubitt wasn't the long-term guy. I mean, the two-year contract, obviously, everyone kind of knew that would put the next athletic director in a little bit of a tough position to have to make a decision. Like, do I have to give him a little bit of an extension to allow him to recruit? Do I get rid of him right away? So in that sense, I mean, you could kind of see what the thoughts on Bill Cubitt. Obviously, you know, help the program for the time being when there was so much turmoil. But I do think, you know, there were some people who weren't on the board through sources that have said, you know, they weren't thrilled with that decision anyways, the two-year deal. But I think this was Whitman's call. And there's an interim chancellor. So, you know, that position's pretty iffy right there. And I think Whitman is calling the shots here.
Shannon, what's your understanding of why they didn't just say to Bill Cubitt, hey, we're going to hire a new athletic director. We need you to hang tight until then, and you will interview for the job, rather than giving him a two-year contract? Because, I mean, you could have told Bill, if you don't want to be here under these circumstances, we understand, but we would like you to interview, and we feel that you'll have a great shot at it. Why didn't they go that route rather than give him a two-year contract and give him, you know, now $1 million buyout?
Well, that's a great question. It kind of goes into what's happened over the last year or so, or, you know, maybe a little more with Illinois. And just, I think people have seen a lack of leadership, a lack of strong decisions with, you know, some common sense to it. I think a lot of fans have criticized them for that, and definitely like their national reputation has taken a hit for that as well. But yeah, I mean, that's a great point with Cubitt, because, you know, you put him in a tough spot too. He would have stuck. I mean, I think he would have stuck around. You know, he knew it was like a job interview anyways, with the interim tag off. You know, it still seemed like he was an interim coach, and he was willing to kind of keep auditioning for the job. And I think he would have done that. So again, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, because with the 2-year deal, what can you do really with recruiting? Where is the confidence in the program? It doesn't get fans too excited. You know, everyone sees it as like this short term kind of thinking. So that would have made a lot of sense.
Shannon, now, of course, on Twitter, all sorts of reports that Lovie Smith, leading candidate. What are you hearing about this? Has this been in the works for a while? And is it going to happen?
I mean, it sounds more and more. I mean, this is like changing by the second. It's never dull on the Illinois beat, let me tell you. So, I mean, it started off a crazy day, and it's gotten a little wilder. But, that's what everyone seems to be hearing now. And our sources say is, you know, that he's a prime candidate, at least for the position. Some people are reporting a little stronger that, you know, it's expected that he's the guy. I think they're still working that out, but we'll see. Obviously, for Illinois, a program that really could use a jolt of excitement, that name alone is going to do it. I mean, it could really help revitalize them in a lot of sense. I mean, from a morale sense, obviously, it's a proven coach. I think it's going to, I mean, just for the program, and it's been such a dark cloud over the program for something like that to happen. And the hires that have been made, that's the big thing, I think, for Whitman was, at the beginning of the day when this was announced, everyone's saying, well, he better have somebody in place, because that's what's gotten Illinois in some trouble in the first place, is kind of striking out with the big hires they've tried to get. And first day on the job, if he hits a home run, that's great for his reputation too.
When you were doing your homework on Josh Whitman, who played for the Illini in the from 97 to 2000,
yeah,
and then he was a D3 AD for Wash U, which, by the way, my brother went to Wash U, a tremendous athlete down there. what did you hear about Whitman? What's his reputation, as far as you know?
Yeah, I mean, everyone talked about him as this young up and comer. He's 37 years old, so for athletic directors, that's definitely young. And Ron Turner loves the guy, was definitely advocating for him and says great things about him. But I think overall, even though he's coming from these small programs, had never been a Division I athletic director before, and has only been an athletic director for a handful of years at small programs, it seems like people have respect for him. Seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. His introductory news conference, I know you can't judge everything off that, but he conducted himself well and sent a strong message about what he wants Illinois to be, and in a sense, how to get there and what he wants them to stand for. And, I think he made a strong first impression. If that was the first impression, and if this is the first impression, definitely made a strong first impression. So I think, even with this, he's a guy who's showing that he doesn't want to wait around and waste time and wants to get this turned around quickly. I know some people are criticizing the move, but I think more people are kind of looking at it as, okay, let's move on, let's get this going and change things, rather than like waiting it out with Qubit for another year and seeing how that goes and just drawing it out. I think he's like, let's get to business. So I think some people respect that.
Shannon, Illini quarterback Chase Crouch tweeted earlier, I'm refreshing my Twitter feed for updates on my own football team. This is crazy. A couple of players seemed a little irritated that they were getting the news about their head football coach getting fired via social media. Are you getting any sort of vibe from the players about the firing? Are they upset? What are you hearing from them?
I mean, that's how it is with college players. I mean, I don't mean to downplay what they're going through. Obviously, that's really tough. Their running back, Keyshawn Vaughn, tweeted, I haven't been on campus a full year, and I've had two head coaches and going on number three. I mean, that sums it up. Yeah. You're going to be like, what's going on here? And I can sense their irritation with that. And I mean, you're recruiting, you pick a school, this is your future. And then there's scandals and coaching changes and AD changes. So I feel like for that, that's more of an issue for them than, how they're told this news. Obviously, ideally you'd want to talk to them quickly, but Whitman made the point of saying he wanted to make sure to talk to Bill Qubit first and get that news out there. And he said, just the word traveled so fast, and they did release it before they talked to players for sure. So maybe you want to talk to the players sooner. But overall, I mean, they're going to be excited. If Lovie Smith's named their next coach, I think they're going to forget about it. I think their tweets are going to have a different tone to them. But yeah, you want to respect them too. And maybe they didn't do it the best way in that sense. But I think overall, just their main beef is probably just all this turmoil and what's happening next. I mean, these guys have had so many changes, even position changes. I mean, if you counted up every, I think for offensive linemen too, they've had a different guy every year, and now three different head coaches, different ADs. I mean, that's more of a head spinner for them, I think, than how they're told this news, or it should be, in my opinion.
Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune Reader, follow her on Twitter. Your life will be better. Is that? I think I undersold you there, Shannon. Just to make sure that everybody's clear. Last one for you. So John Gross, your head coach of Illini basketball, who apparently does have a good recruiting class coming in next season, but has not been winning many games, and attendance has been generally abysmal this season. He was given the vote of confidence today, along with the news with Bill Qubit. Were you surprised that that was part of it, and is that the right move for Illinois, in your opinion?
I'm not surprised because, look, first of all, Gross is three more years on his contract. I don't think people realize that because he got an early extension, and he's getting paid $1.7 million a year. Plus, I mean, I think Whitman does see some potential there. I mean, Illinois, you can look at their roster and look at what they've gone through this year. It is crazy with the amount of injuries they've had. And I know that doesn't mean a lot to fans when you're probably missing the NCAA tournament for 3 years in a row, and they should be set up with that for sure. But I think Gross, he just landed Frank Williams' son as a recruit coming in, and I think that's a four-star recruit right there. So, and they've got some good guys. I think
We lose her?
I think we lost Shannon. But we appreciate her jumping on. I think that was basically the back end of it anyway. Yeah, so, okay, a lot more money on the gross table, and you're not going to be completely firing everybody and just soaking up dollars. So thanks to Shannon. Yeah, we can put her back on. Okay, hang on 1 second.
I'll let her finish that thought.
Let her finish that thought. I didn't know Mike Jacobson, with his incredible skills, was able to get her back that quickly. Shannon, I'm sorry. If you can just finish up your gross thoughts.
Sorry, yeah. No, I was just saying, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, and I know people see that as an excuse, but they've had some bad luck. They've got some really good recruits coming in, and I think just with the amount of time left on his contract, the amount of money on there, I think it makes sense to, like, let's give him another year and, you know, see how these recruits do, see how he does with a full roster with Tracy Abrams back and, you know, hopefully for them a healthy season. And so it made sense to me.
Gut feel on your way out. Lovie Smith becomes the new head coach of the Illini. What percent?
Okay. Oh, what percent am I putting that on? Oh, yeah. I can't guess that.
Sounds like, if I can read the Shannon Ryan laughter, I think that you...
I mean, I have to, after we get off the phone, I'm probably going to have like two messages telling me some new news with how this story goes. So that's why with Illinois, I hate to guess with anything. But it sounds, I mean, throughout the day, it's kind of gotten more firmed up as we've gone along that it sounds like at least they're strongly, you know, he's the top guy they're going after.
Well, Shannon, if he does become the new head coach, you heard it here first. Wikipedia had that report first. I'm sure you saw that earlier. Wikipedia reporting Lovie Smith is the new Illini head coach. Somebody snuck their way in there.
Right, I saw that. They're always first.
And you'll have to up your caffeine intake if you're going to be covering the Illini with Lovie. That's no disrespect to Lovie, but you know that's his deal. It's not going to be super entertaining, unlike what's going on in Michigan right now. Shannon, thanks so much. We always appreciate you jumping on.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. All right, let's follow up on the excitement with Go Blue and the way they're going about their business. You like trash talking, KP?
Sure.
All right. Well, yeah. then maybe you'll support. Do you know what a Michigan man is? There's a definition of this.
Okay. I'll let you explain after the break.
Sure.
There we go.
720 WGN.
Cheap shot. Launching. Clotheslining. Bad play. You know, I looked at it with my own eyes. I could see, you know, two punches thrown, you know, to Joe's head. And, well, one punch and one open slap, which, you know, that was just a, if you're going to go to the face, come with some knuckles, you know, not a open slap. So, you know, I think that young man works very hard on being a tough guy. He'll have some repairing to do to his image after the slap.
What a nut job.
That's Jim Harbaugh. At Coach Jim 4 UM on Twitter, a must follow, especially if you're a Go Blue fan. I went to the University of Iowa. I'll leave it right there for you. 720 WGN, I'm Mark Harmon, you're Kevin Powell. You fear the bird down,
fear
at,
the bird.
Down at Illinois State.
Tough loss yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
Getting knocked out by Indiana State in the Missouri Valley Conference basketball tournament, not good.
Was Larry Joe Bird playing for Indiana State?
No, I believe he was off. I wish we could have used some Doug Collins last night, but yeah, they lost to the Sycamores. Never good when you lose to a team named the Sycamores.
Doug will be at Welsh Ryan Arena most likely tomorrow. At least he is all the time, and it is senior day, so I would think Doug would probably be in attendance unless he has NBA TV duties. So
yeah, Illinois State was a 3-seed, lost to the 6-seed Indiana State, 65-57, down at Arch Madness, the Scott Trade Center.
Okay, so that's probably going to end their tournament chances, like everybody else in the state. So here's why we're bringing up Jim Harbaugh, who took his Michigan team down to the IMG Academy in Florida, practicing during spring break. And if you've missed the story, many an SEC coach do not like Michigan going down to Florida in their territory, practicing, trying to perhaps get recruits to come to Go Blue. So Butch Jones is the head coach of Tennessee, and he tweets out, "Mind if I join you guys for lunch?" to at D'Antonio Mark from Michigan State and at Brett Bielema, who's your head coach at Arkansas. And they all wanted to go to lunch and watch Harbaugh have his practice at the IMG Academy. Well, so Harbaugh sees this and doesn't like it. So he tweets out, suggestion to my Rocky Top colleague, that would be Butch Jones, rather than lunch in Florida, you might spend your time and focus attending to your present team, which is a shot at what's going on at Tennessee, where they're having some off-the-field issues with Aval players accusing Jones of telling him he betrayed the team for helping a woman. We've got sexual assault allegations and all this type of stuff. So Harbaugh's dancing down there when there's a lot of stuff at Michigan that's not perfect as well. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who's very entertaining, and you were just laughing at him.
Yes.
But he's not what I would consider in any way, shape, or form a classy guy right now.
Like, if you're going to go to the face, come with some knuckles.
That's right. Bring the knuckles. No, and he's caught in some heat for his recruiting tactics.
Well, that's the other thing.
And pulling scholarship offers from players after other players commit to his school.
Right. He gets a better guy than you, then you're gone.
Right.
Teddy Greenstein had a piece in the
Greenstein's been all over it. And he was really kind of the first one to bring this up and some of Harbaugh's recruiting methods. And I agree with what Teddy's been saying. And a lot of people have been saying it's just sort of scummy, to be honest.
So, Michigan people, if you want to, we got a second here, 312-981-7200. Do you like this man representing you?
Oh, they love it.
Do they?
Absolutely.
See,
are you kidding me?
See, to me,
Michigan's going to be contending for national championships every year Harbaugh's there.
I actually Googled today because he always talks about being a Michigan man. I wanted to actually find out what that is. And according to Michigan, what is a Michigan man? I find this at on the University of Michigan website. What is a Michigan man? Many say he is distinguished, proud, successful, accomplished,
wow,
devoted. Mm-hmm. So is it? Are you distinguished if you go on Twitter and you attack other coaches? Is that distinguished behavior?
No.
We know that a Michigan man is also, one, doesn't have to struggle alone. Two, is mentally tough. Being mentally tough includes having the courage to ask for help and being honest with mental health challenges. And three, knows his resources and how to access them on campus. That's all a part of being a Michigan man. Like, Michigan to me is this great school, tremendous academics, and, you know, Jim played there, I get it. And he was a successful quarterback, and he was very successful in the NFL. But if I'm Michigan, and there's a little bit of a clown act going on right now, and he's super sensitive. Like, you have to, if you're going to do what he's doing, you got to take on all comers and not be.
But if he's winning and producing, that's all that matters. That's all that matters to the fan base. And where did most of the so-called experts drop Michigan in terms of recruiting class? They were up there, right?
They're in the top five. People are coming, and that's after some down times over there.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Twitter account, and he's got his phone number and his email in his Twitter profile.
Look at the responses on the Tennessee. I mean, they are attacking what the behind the scenes stuff in Michigan, where there's a lot of arrests that you
a couple of proud fan bases.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just. Maybe I like to live in a utopian world, but I like to think there can be some class in my college athletic world, like kind of the way Pat Fitzgerald runs it over there at Northwestern, if I may say that. Can I say
Go
that?
Cats.
Go Cats. Wildcat and Starner coming up at 6:15 with fine athletic director Jim Phillips. My man. So Hometown Voices on the road. They're going to Midlothian. That's their next stop. It's presented by Allstate. You can join Lou Manfredini at Bartolini's. Please help me.
Bartolini's, I think.
Bartolini's,
right?
Thank you.
Yeah, Bartolini's.
Bartolini's.
I'm going to go look at their menu.
I'm sorry,
right,
Bartolini's.
Now.
It sounds like a phenomenal restaurant. I'd like to eat the food. It's a live broadcast of the Mr. Fixit Show. It's Saturday, March 19th, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Home of Chicago's best meatballs. We're up for a challenge.
Strong Yelp rating.
Yep. You can come and try to conquer the legendary signature Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich. You can handle that over there? 10
pounds?
Absolutely. I can do it. On a 3-foot loaf of French bread.
I'm looking at their photos on Yelp right now. This place looks good.
And you can enjoy complimentary coffee, soft drinks as well. You can visit the events page, WGNRadio.com, for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands, March 19th. Bartolini's. News is next. And then there's a man by the name of Mike Ditka. And there's also a man by the name of Martellus Bennett. A lot of football talk coming straight at you. 720 WGN.
You know, Martellus is under contract. And, you know, right now, a lot of our priority and emphasis is, first of all, being here at the Combine, you know, for our first look, and particularly for coaches to, you know, at the college draft class, which is imperative to any organization. And then free agency, you know, we're 2 weeks out from that and, you know, those decisions. So the guys that are under contract, any decisions made on them moving forward, I mean, it'll be very fluid. But the reality is that's on the back burner. And, you know, we'll get into that more when it's appropriate.
John Fox, your Chicago Bears head coach, getting ready for season two. Might not be the best football coach in the state anymore.
Look out.
Lovey Smith. Fired by the Bears, fired by the Bucks. Could be your new head coach of the Fighting Illini. More and more reports coming up that Lovey will be going down to Champaign as Bill Cubitt was let go today on new athletic director Josh Whitman's first day on the job. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Kevin Powell. It's The Beat, 720 WGN. Mike Jacobson, our outstanding producer, contributor, here with you till 7 o'clock, 312-981-7200. Before we get to Mike Ditka and his appearance on a conservative talk show, Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
Final year of his contract. Seems like the Bears are working on getting Martellus somewhere where he wants to go, because the Bears have got tired of the Martellus Bennett act. But they don't want to get rid of him until they figure out what their plan is, because Martellus, you know, he catches a lot of footballs, right?
He's probably a top five tight end in the league in terms of receiving, putting up numbers receiving the ball. Maybe not the best blocking tight end in the league, but a very good tight end. He wants a new deal. The Bears weren't going to give him one. He's been very vocal about it for the past, year or so, maybe 2 years, really. After his first 2 years of the deal, none of the money was guaranteed. You signed the deal, Martellus, by the way. You signed it. He wasn't happy about that, which, he could get cut at any time. All the money's out the window. He basically wanted out because he wanted a new deal. Now, in terms of what the Bears are going to get back for him, Carm, I mean, they got a fifth-round pick for Brandon Marshall last year. By the way, Brandon Marshall's agent is also Martellus Bennett's agent. Fifth-round draft pick for Brandon Marshall, also pretty much talked his way out of town. So for me, it's what are you going to get in return for him? Two, this clearly shows that the Bears understand where they are as a team. What I mean by that is, if the Bears genuinely thought that they could win a championship this year, do you trade away one of the top five tight ends in the league? You suck it up. You let him. You maybe even give him a new deal. You let him pout a little bit in practice. You deal with it. You manage it. John Fox is supposedly, you know, a guy that could come in and handle the players, handle the egos. He's been around the league a while. So I'm interested to see what they're going to get back. And then for three, Who are you going to get to replace him? Not exactly a stocked tight end group of free agents.
No. And if you go by pure stats, I mean, Martellus, he was banged up last year. He ended up the season, you know, on IR. So he had a down year. And so he's way down the list of tight ends. But as far as, like, pure when Martellus is going well,
he's very good.
Yeah, and he's also a good blocker, man. Last year, Martellus had 53. He caught 53 balls, right?
And he missed, what, the last month of the year? Didn't he miss a few games? Three, four games?
Yeah, I'll pull Martellus. Let's see here. I should have that in front of me. I just lost him.
Well, Carm finds out, I'll read you some free agents out there. Antonio Gates.
Old.
Ladarius Green.
Not interested.
Benjamin Watson.
That would be super bold if you went Benjamin Watson. And he's also
35 years old.
A 35-year-old man.
Kobe Fleener.
Listen.
So those are just some. Dwayne Allen, Zach Miller is going to get probably a bigger deal than he should. He'll be out of town.
Okay, listen. If Zach Miller wants the money that he says he wants, which is about $5 million, I wouldn't sign
him. Crazy. 31.
For me personally, listen, Martellus, I get it that he's can be a little eccentric, and maybe that's not the way John Fox likes his guys. He's the least interesting man going, and I don't exactly know what's going on behind the scenes with those two. But I don't think at the end of the day Martellus Bennett has a lot of leverage. He's going to have to come and play for you. So, and he's in a contract year where he's going to want to prove himself to the rest of the NFL. I'd bring him back. That would be me. You're not going to get value for Martellus Bennett. Is that,
I think you're probably looking at a fifth, like similar to Brandon Marshall, right? A fifth round pick.
I would have brought but see, Brandon was more of a polarizing force in that locker room. I don't think Martellus gets to that level.
Yeah, plus he's so off the grid. I think maybe the players sort of just brush off some of his comments, some of his acts.
Right, and you know, the media gets tired of his act, or at least some people in the media do. I find it, I enjoy it. It's
same here. He's a great quote, especially if you're working in the media. He's hilarious.
Like a young Martin Luther King. Stuff that Martin Luther King would have said if he played football.
See? I mean, how do you not want that guy?
That's phenomenal. I was at the press conference when they introduced him and Jermaine Bushrod 3 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, we all knew a little bit about him. We saw some of the numbers he put up. And he comes into this press conference and just blows everyone away. Like, what is this guy talking about? And since then, what was it, Black Unicorn? Is that what he gave him?
Yeah.
I think he said that at the opening press conference. So Martellus Bennett will be out of town. How soon? I don't know. It could be free agency pops open on Wednesday. It could be before that. This could happen Sunday, Monday, Tuesday maybe. Brandon Marshall was traded the Friday before free agency opened up last year, so about a year ago.
He played in 11 games to circle back to that, so he missed 5 games last year. His biggest output was 11 catches against the Raiders in the Bears' first win of the year when he caught 11 balls for 83 yards. It was a down year for him. But again, if you're keeping Jay Cutler, they're still in the middle here. Like, you're keeping Cutler, but
that's the thing. They haven't committed. Which way are the Bears going? Are they trying to contend for championships right now, or are they trying to rebuild?
And you have so many needs, I wouldn't think that you're going to prioritize drafting a tight end.
No, the defense is a mess, and that's the biggest concern, really.
So I would keep him. All right, let's pivot over to our guy.
To another tight end?
Yes, to another tight end, number 89, good old Mike Ditka, who was on a conservative talk show. Ben and Sid. You know Ben and Sid?
Ben and Sid.
The Ben and Sid show?
Nah, never listened.
Good old Ben, good old Sid. Good old Ben and Sid were leading Ditka down the path. And by the way, Mike is responsible for his actions. So,
WABC.
WABC, New York. He starts talking about leadership, and then he has a comment about the President of the United States.
I think we're devoid of leadership right now, and I think we need leadership. And whether you agree with everything the man says or not, he's a hell of a lot better leader than some of the other guys I hear about.
Do you regret your vote for Obama in 2012?
What?
I didn't vote for Obama.
Okay, he's breaking your chops, Mike. What are you kidding me?
Obama's the worst president we've ever had.
You know, it's funny you say that.
Like St. Peter.
So there you go, worst president we've ever had, Mike Ditka, who was employed by ESPN. And then he continues on with more about this leadership thing.
Barack Obama's a fine man. I mean, he's pleasant. He would be great to play golf with. He's not a leader. This country needs leadership. It needs direction. It needs somebody that steps up front. We need somebody like Ronald Reagan. Every once in a while, you're going to get punched in the chops, but you keep going forward. That's all there is to it. You know, it's not always going to be a perfect situation. But, to do what he does, there's no leadership there. And I think that becomes very disgusting to me.
So then so the double down right there. And then, hey, Mike, who are you voting for?
The people that hate him, but the people that like him because he says things that resonate with what they think. I mean, and that's just whether you like it or not, that's the way people think at times. So, if I were to vote tomorrow, I'd probably vote for Trump.
And there you go. So,
okay.
Mike Ditka is employed by ESPN. He said crazy stuff before, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion on things. And if somebody, an employer, has no problem with that, then I'm not going to step in there and say that that's right or wrong. It's free country. And if his employer is comfortable with him calling the president the worst of all time. What's up, Dan Richmond? If they're comfortable with that, and then you know who he's going to vote for. Even though ESPN, by the way, has a policy that they don't want the political talk right now. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, along with the Curt Schilling issue, who said that he wants Hillary to be buried underneath a jail, which is probably not something that the four-letter worldwide leader would want. But this is what I want to get to on Mike, because he's talking about leadership, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the 1985 Chicago Bears were the greatest team of all time?
Yeah.
So do I. How many Super Bowls did they win?
They won one.
Who was the leader of that team?
Mike Ditka. And here's the thing with Ditka. Just kind of go away. Just kind of retire. Go play some golf. He's embarrassing himself on ESPN. He's falling asleep on the set. Was it two seasons ago? They're talking about something, and he completely lost a train of thought, had no idea what they're talking about, starts spouting comments about an entirely different football game. Kind of losing
didn't
it
he,
here.
Didn't he have a flatulation on air as well?
He did.
The old on-air toot?
He did, and you know, the 30 for 30 that came out on the 85 Bears didn't exactly
Paint Ditka in the
brightest light.
No, you had Richard Dent saying that he thought that Mike Tomczak should have been the quarterback. That talking about Doug Flutie and saying, hey, you know, he's you're bringing in a guy off the street.
Right.
What can he do? Not very much.
And all of the players are expressing how much love they have for Buddy Ryan. No one really had the same sentiment towards Coach Ditka.
Well, and Dan Hampton, Hampo Bear, our guy, he had a very poignant comment about how they were going to pick up Buddy because they knew that Buddy was leaving for the Eagles. Right. And he told us, hey, you better go pick up Ditka because you know that his feelings were going to be hurt. And then the guy goes in the offseason, he promotes, you know, he's on a million different, I don't want to bring all this up, but it's just like he endorsed every single product.
Yeah, but if you had the Ditka Pull of Sausage, it's delicious.
Oh, I'm not, hey, listen, the Pull of Sausage
and
is strong.
And the beef and
pork
the
chops
Bloody
delicious
Mary.
Too. No, I'm pro the restaurant, no doubt about it. But like, here's a guy who's screaming about leadership. Dude,
right. You
were the leader of the best team of all time that completely disappointed. So what do you really know about leadership at the end of the day? I mean, you can speak it, but like actions at the end of the day are a lot louder. 312-981.
Here come the phone calls,
yeah,
Mark.
312-981.
Bashing Ditka, you're going to get some backlash.
No, that's fine. 312-981-7200. And again, listen, there's also people get a little confused about the old free speech thing. Mike Ditka could say whatever he wants.
Right.
That's fine. And you're not going to get thrown in jail for it. I get it. But your employer may have a problem with it, and they don't have to employ you. Any rate, I was not surprised, but just a little perturbed by good old Mike throwing out the leadership. And you think about it, when you watch this 30 for 30, like, man, if we had a better leader at the top of that top step of the dugout, I know it's not baseball, then maybe we would not be sitting here with just one Super Bowl championship in the entire history of the Chicago Bears. Jim in Barrington, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, interesting comment regarding Ditka, because there's no question he was one of the best football coaches ever that we've experienced. But it wouldn't be surprising to me that he wasn't suffering at this stage in some form of the CTE dementia or some kind of the concussion dementia that he had experienced over his life. We have experience with that in our family, and we see the same behaviors, the same aggressiveness, and the same kinds of behaviors that come as a function of too many concussions. Purely an opinion, but it's an observation based on experience.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. I mean, it's possible.
I mean, that's how crazy his comments are, that people are starting to think that he is suffering from CTE.
Right. I mean, whenever I see him talking, I thought in the 30 for 30, I thought he had a lot of great comments. He seemed, you know, honest and completely there. So falling asleep on TV, well, those are long TV days. I don't think that necessarily means he's suffering from CTE. But you never know. I mean, listen, he was an incredibly physical player when he played and one of the greatest tight ends really of all times. So there's that. All right, quick timeout. And coming back here, KP, talk to one of the greatest players in the history of a game, near and dear to my heart.
This is a good get by you.
This is.
Excited.
We'll do it. 720 WGN.
Why are you standing, Carm?
I get excited.
I want to stand now.
Yeah. 720 WGN. This is The Beat with you till 7 o'clock. Wildcat Insider in your 6 o'clock hour. Always good to see Dan Richmond.
Stopping by. That's dedication to the Apple. He went to an Apple MacBook class.
Working on a Saturday, trying to make himself more valuable to the company.
I'll never do that.
It's an inspiration to all of us. So, I teased coming back here that I got to talk to one of my favorite people, KP.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, so April the 8th, which is a Friday night at the UIC Pavilion, tennis fans, you should be there. John McEnroe, Andre Agassi, Jim Courier, James Blake playing a little exhibition. I've seen this before. They do a great job. Just it's very entertaining. It's actually competitive. They are trying to win.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I saw some promos on TV for it, and there's like screaming, and they look like they're pretty intense about it.
They're having fun, but they're also trying to win.
Right. I think I'm going to go to this with you, Carm. We go on a date or something?
Absolutely. Yes, you're in. And maybe we'll talk to some of maybe we can sit down with a Johnny McEnroe, who I'm trying to get to on the program as well. But I did get to talk to Andre Agassi. The entire interview is available at WGNRadio.com/sports. And it's The Beat on Demand, so you can hear the whole 20 minutes that we talked to him. But here's just a little snippet. Andre was very, very conversational. It was fun to talk to. We hit on a ton of topics. We talked about Djokovic, talked about just if you want to have a tennis player in your family, if you're a parent, and then got into just a lot of the mental side of the game. But also asked him about his wife, the beautiful, the talented Steffi Graf, who still leads with most majors ahead of Serena in the modern era. So what's it like, Andre, getting on the court, or do you ever get on the court with Steffi and knock it around?
We don't too much, quite frankly. Sometimes she wants exercise, and I want to feel the only thing I did well, which is which is ball strikes. So we make a very strong agreement to one another that I will run her around if she hits the ball back to me, and so I like that balance. It keeps me from having to work too hard, and I get to watch her, like poetry in motion. And then, as far as who wins, I would say, unfortunately, the most important lesson that you learn in tennis that you never learn is the first one. It's the last one. Is to watch the ball, and that gets a little bit more difficult for me when I play against her.
That's that's awesome. Okay, April 8th, UIC Pavilion. Andre will be there with John McEnroe and Jim Courier and James Blake, and I've seen you guys play in this event before. It's a ton of fun, and it's great tennis, so you should come on out. Last one, your favorite rival when go back to your playing career, is it Pete, or would you say someone else?
Well, favorite is a kind of it's hard for me to understand that exact definition of that, because what does it really mean? I mean, I feel like Pete made me, while he ripped away many trophies and accomplishments, he also made me a better player, and he also made me more of an aware athlete, and he also inspired me to keep searching for a connection with my sport, so that I could go about it the way really he does, which at times appeared even disconnected with emotion. And that's what you have to do when you're out there. You have to, there's a job, and you got to put your emotions aside in order to do that job most effectively. So Pete, no doubt, sort of stands alone in that respect. But I, quite frankly, I love playing Rafter. Rafter was a guy that had a totally different game than me, but he was just such a play. It's like when I lost to Rafter, I felt like, well, at least Rafter won. I mean, he was that kind of guy, and he gave you a rhythm, which is one of Pete's great strengths, is his ability to not give you rhythm. So it always seemed like we both played at quite a high level every time we stepped on the court, and so those two guys are kind of top of the list for me.
There you go, Andre Agassi. Again, you can check out the in full interview, WGNRadio.com/sports, on demand, The Beat. And KP, apparently you're coming out with me now.
Yeah, April 8th.
April 8th. You want to go April 7th, the night before, to Griffin House and really live the Mark Harmon life? Griffin House, great artist, going to be at City Winery.
That's a Thursday and a school night, Carm.
It's okay.
I'm out.
All you got to do is get through a Friday.
Steve Cochran show, need to get up about 2:30, 2:45. I'm out.
You could take a day off on a Friday.
I'm not taking a day off to go out on a Thursday night.
You can hang with me.
Friday night we'll hang.
Amy Guth is in the studio.
Coming in.
Back from Africa, by the way. We have to talk to her in transition at 7 o'clock just to find out everything that Amy Guth's been doing in her life. But all right, we got to get to the news. After 6 o'clock, we'll get into Wildcat Insider.
Some Bulls updates, too, right?
That's what we're going to do before Wildcat Insider. There is breaking news from the United Center. It's going to be a big night with the Rockets in town, apparently.
Are you CNNing it right now? Breaking news?
Well, there's a little bit of breaking news, is there not?
Yeah, but you're making it sound like it's this massive announcement from the Bulls.
Are you saying that I'm like overstating things?
Yeah, you're CNNing it.
Okay, fine. There's like a
there's Bulls news.
There's a little bit of a nugget from the United Center that's moderately entertaining for a Bulls team that's out of the playoffs. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
That's better.
All right. Okay. See. That's,
well done.
I was trying to bring some
excitement. You know what? Your tease was better than mine, but I just wanted to, didn't want to give him false hope.
We get the point. This is, honesty is the best policy, and if I overstated it, I overstated it, and I apologize. Thank you for coming correct.
Fact check.
I don't think that we've been playing defense all year. I just think that we outscore opponents a lot of the times. We're a talented group of guys, but not that talented to outscore everybody every night, so. Obviously, we got a guard. We've been saying it all year. I know y'all have heard it a million times. Hopefully, I can help whenever I get back.
Why has it been a broken record with you guys? Why do you think so?
I think at times guys play hard. I think at times we don't play hard.
Jimmy Butler back on the court tonight. The Bulls on ABC. 7:30 tip tonight at the United Center.
But we're playing the NBA on NBC theme because it's one of the greatest sports theme songs of all time. And I was whistling it earlier when I walked in. And I go, you know what? We need to play this at some point.
Do you remember are you too young to remember the CBS intro?
Probably. I just remember the Bulls always being on NBA on NBC. Always.
Mike Jacobson, see if you can find that on the old YouTuber, because if you want to see me cry, you'll play the CBS intro from back in the day. The special, there's a good one you can find from the Bulls and the Celtics when Jordan scored 63, and they play the old CBS. Oh, so it's big news out the United Center tonight. Jimmy Butler has been out with the knee injury. He's back. You excited about Jimmy Butler?
They need him back. They need all the help they can get.
Okay. Taj Gibson, been out with a hamstring pull. Taj Gibson is back.
Back. Could definitely use him, especially on the defensive end of the court.
Nikola Mirotic, who's been out with the hematoma and the appendectomy and all the bodily stuff.
That's the breaking news you were referring to, because I don't think any of us expected him to be back for, what, another week or two, right?
Yes.
Maybe 2 weeks?
Nico, apparently the fast healer, Nico Mirotic, is back on the court tonight for your Chicago Bulls.
Been out the past 16 games after having an appendectomy in late January.
And we do have one bad piece of news from the United Center. Out with a back injury tonight, Cameron Bairstow. Bairstow will not be able to make it a go tonight against the Rockets, so that could negatively impact the squad. So, okay, we got Butler back, we got Gibson back, we got Nico back, Derek isn't hurt, Pau Gasol tweeted out a little while ago that he's fired up to play hard tonight, Joakim Noah is going to be coming back to the bench at some point for energy purposes, not going to be playing, but he's just going to be there clapping it on. Yeah. Can you feel it?
I'm ready. You're going to be there, right?
I'm going, man. I think you should come with me.
Like, but are you covering it, or can we just go sit down and watch it and, like, have a beer and I can eat a hot dog? Or do I have to, like, go and be quiet in the media area?
Well, I mean, we can get you a ticket if you want to go fandom.
Where were you going to go? The media area?
Yes, I go as a media member, and I like to talk to the players afterwards. I like to build
What's
up.
What's the food situation?
Great food.
Is it really?
It's a $6 little buffet there. They got a nice salad.
$6 buffet?
Well, $6 buffet. You got two different salads every night. There's always a soup, and then you have two different entrees, a little fruit, and there's normally like a bread pudding dessert. Sometimes ice cream, KP.
You know what I like when I would do a little get some sound for the station for Hawks games? They had the popcorn machine there. I'm assuming that's there for Bulls
popcorn
as well,
is
right?
There. And then they've
complimentary
got
popcorn.
New spices, too.
Wow.
New spices, KP.
Maybe I will come with they desperately needed everyone to get healthy. There's about 20 games left in the regular season. They've been awful. Defensively, Carm, just garbage. I mean, how many straight games now giving up 100-plus points?
It's been 7,000 in a row.
Yeah.
It's been back to the mid-80s the last time this has happened. Listen, the
Fred... You're pumped. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm just trying to point out a few of the inefficiencies of this team.
You know how we did math earlier in the show, if you listened?
Yeah, I zoned out when you started doing math. I missed that whole, like, four-minute chunk.
I think you can hang for this one.
Okay.
Taj Gibson said, thank God we're in the Eastern Conference, right? Because the Eastern Conference is so bad.
Gibson just... who said that, Butler?
Taj said that.
Taj said, okay.
Okay. Let me ask you. Here's the math. The 8 seed in the Eastern Conference is... The Bulls are 30-30. They're 500. Okay. The 8th seed, who the Bulls are one half game back, is the Detroit Pistons. They're 31-30.
Half game out.
Okay. The 8th seed in the Western Conference are the Houston Rockets, and they're 30-31. Which is the better record? 31-30... Or 30-31? Tough math question for you.
But I think he's referring to just the overall depth of the conference.
The overall depth, you say?
Okay, forget the records, Carm. Look at Golden State, San Antonio, OKC, the Clippers.
All right, the Bulls aren't beating the Cleveland Cavaliers either.
And then the East is Cleveland, Toronto, Boston.
Okay,
the top three spots. The West is better than the East.
I'm not saying they're not better, but... the Portland Trailblazers are the 7th seed. They're 33-30. The Mavericks are the 6th seed. They're 33-29. I mean, that's where the Bulls are cooking, right? The 6th seed in the East is 33-28. They're all the teams right in front of them. Actually, the
record-wise,
East
is
better than the
West.
Are
you going to be upset when Golden State beats the Bulls record?
No. No, I'm not. I'm not going to love it, but I'm not going to be upset.
Okay.
I'm not. All right. The great Jim Phillips, Northwestern Athletic Director, is going to be with us at 6:15 with Chicago Tribune Sports Plus. You can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Are you going to be upset when the Warriors beat the Bulls record?
It's kind of cool to hang your hat on that 72-10, though.
Yeah, it's going down.
Yeah, it is.
It's going down for real.
Golden State's 55-5. By the way, they've got 22 games left. I don't think they're going to lose six games.
Can you do the math on that? 25. They're 55-5.
Yeah, just
to get to 70, 22 and what?
They're at 60. They got 22 more games.
They got to get to 55-5. They can lose four more times, and they only have to. That's just,
so then you go 18-4.
It'd be like for them to not break it. It'd be a complete and utter disaster. Fall off the mountaintop. It's going down for real. All right, the great athletic director from Northwestern, Jim Phillips, our Wildcat insider, starts next. 720 WGN.
Big Ten team.
At Evanston, Illinois, the Wildcats of Northwestern University.
It's time for Wildcat Insider, driven by Nissan. On the proud home of the Northwestern Wildcats, 720 WGN.
Wildcat Insider, indeed. I'm Mark Carmen. He is Kevin Powell. This is 720 WGN. Our next half hour of programming, Northwestern with the Cats, their final home game. Tomorrow afternoon, unless there's an NIT game at Welsh Ryan Arena, which wouldn't bother me all that much. Jim Phillips, your outstanding athletic director, joining us. Dr. Jim, first of all, I will be there tomorrow. Dave Ennett will be there tomorrow. Dave Ennett will not allow me to hug him during senior day. I tend to get emotional in these moments because it takes me back to my college moments. Not that I was ever an athlete. But Trey Demps, Alex Ola, Joey Van Zegren are all going to be honored tomorrow. Jim, if I look up at you, will I see a little tear in the eye from you as well? And is it cool if I do that we can have kind of a bro hug type of moment?
Well, I'll be down on the court recognizing those three young men. And I'll tell you, Mark, it is an emotional time because when I think about Trey, he's been with us for 5 years. He had an injury year. He's a graduate student. He's already got his Northwestern degree. Alex, who has been basically a four-year starter, both those guys, and Joey Van Zegren, who's also a graduate student at Northwestern. Those guys have given a lot to the program, and I know you're going to have Alex on a little bit later, but yep. His parents have never been to the States and haven't had a chance to ever see him play. So those moments, along with Trey's family and Joey's, I just think it's one of those days that it's just not just a basketball game. It's a way to really pay our respects and thank those guys because they've meant a lot to Northwestern University, and I'm really proud of them. I'm proud of the kind of students that they are, first and foremost, the kind of young men they are. And obviously, you know, they're really, really talented basketball players, but it's more about the kind of young men they are.
Dr. Phillips, a win tomorrow gives the team their 20th regular season win. That would set a school record for most wins in the regular season. Got to be happy with the season for the most part, where Coach Collins has the team headed.
I really am, Kevin. I think you follow closely, and Mark does. If you're going to build a program the right way, it takes time. We really believe in high-character guys, guys that are really committed to being students first and foremost, and also, you know, exceptional athletes. His first year, we won 14 games. Last year, we won 15. We have a chance to have a school record. We've tied it, as you said, this year. We've never won 20 during the regular season. It would be a great way to send the seniors out. I just know the trajectory is pointed in a northerly direction, and I'm excited about that. I really am. And I know we're building it with the right kinds of young men. We lose Alex and Joey and Trey, but I will tell you, Rapolis and Barrett Benson from Hinsdale, Rapolis, Ivankis from Barrington, who's at a prep school right now, and Isaiah Brown from Seattle. Nobody scored more points in the history of Washington basketball as a high school player than Isaiah Brown has, and those three guys are going to join us next year. So I'm excited about the rest of this season because I still think we got a lot of basketball left to play, and I'm really excited about where we're headed in the future with those new guys coming on board next year.
And keeping it to this season, the Big Ten tournament starts March 9th. It's in Indy this year. So if the Cats win tomorrow, they'll be the 9 seed, and they will not have to play in the first round, which would be, you know, get out of a Wednesday game. They, with a win, they do that. Penn State lost to Illinois. There's also some tie-breaking scenarios not playing on that first day. We're going to talk to Alex Ola, as you mentioned, Dr. Jim. I want to give Trey Demps a little bit of some love right here. I mean, here's a guy who, I mean, talk about wearing your jersey with pride. I mean, he's does a ton off the court. He's gotten married while and had a kid while at Northwestern. He's been first class all the way, and he's gotten better on the court massively from his freshman year until now. I mean, and his dad's, you know, general manager in the NBA. He's just an interesting guy who put his heart and soul into the program, and it'd be super sweet to get him a win in the last game at home, but also to hopefully get some postseason ball going on here and have a great run in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, Mark, you said it well. Trey is an exceptional kid. He just is. You've told his story well. He got married this summer, and they're about to have their first child. His wife is due next week, and so Trey's not missing the birth of his son or daughter. He just isn't. We've talked to him about that. I don't care who we're playing or when we're playing. He's going to be right where he should be at the hospital with his wife. So we'll play that by ear next week when we go to Indianapolis. But he has been the heart and soul of our program. He's been a captain. He's been somebody that Coach Collins has relied heavily on as he took over the reins, you know, less than 3 years ago. And he's just a great young guy. I love Trey Demps. I just do. I do. I just think so highly of him. And he's a kid that could have gone anywhere coming out of high school. But academics was really important to him, and he wanted to play, you know, in a place like Northwestern. Great academics, great athletics. So, you know, what you said at the start of that segment, there will be a few tears shed tomorrow by all of us because when you escort Trey and Alex and Joey out, it is an emotional moment.
And how about that women's basketball team? Three straight wins in their conference tournament all the way to the semifinals before they fell to Maryland. Great finish to the season for them.
Really a great finish. And it's been a group that's had a lot of injuries this year. Started out the season strong and then had some key pieces missing as we went through the Big Ten year, but rallied, as you said, Kevin, over the last 3 days. I was in Indianapolis on Wednesday and saw us beat Wisconsin, then upset Minnesota, then upset Indiana. I just think four games in four days when you're playing the fifth best team in the country and the winner of the regular season in Maryland, it just got too difficult with the short bench that we have and a lot of minutes. But nonetheless, we're going to play in the postseason, and that'll be a great opportunity for those women to continue their basketball careers going as well.
Dr. Jim Phillips with us here. It's Wildcat Insider on 720 WGN. Dr. Jim, congratulations. One of four FBS Athletic Directors of the Year by the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics. So congrats on that. Now I'm about to ask you a tough question. The Ivy League football coaches have decided to eliminate full contact hitting from practice during the regular season. This story came out a little bit earlier this week. And, you know, there's obviously growing concerns about brain trauma, other injuries from football. I'm curious how you think this impacts the collegiate landscape. If the Ivy League is not going to tackle with, player on player, they'll have tackling dummies and other ways to get it done. If the Ivy League is doing that, how do you think that resonates throughout the rest of college athletics?
Well, I think we're all paying attention to that. The Ivy League and the Big Ten Conference have joined forces on a concussion think tank group. We're watching and monitoring and researching it. I think we're all cognizant of the landscape relative to football and the contact and all of the things that we're trying to do to make the game safer. I don't think anybody's going to overreact right now, Mark. I don't think you're going to see every conference in the country doing that. I think what we have done has been very smart when you look at rule changes on where you kick off from and targeting plays and ejections and we've made the game safer with some of those things. I think you're also going to see, when we've talked about this in the past, time demands. I think you're going to see maybe some reduction in some time commitments of student athletes. Maybe it's less practice time. But I think you can still have contact in a smart way, in a competitive way, to get the young men ready for Saturdays. But you never say never as it comes to, you know, not having contact during the week. I think in the end, we all want the same thing, and that is to make it as safe of a environment when you get on the field. And maybe that's doing some things during the week that have been different, like the Ivy is, or maybe it's a little combination of both. And, those are my thoughts there. I do want to say something about that award.
Yeah.
Because that award is really reflective of the staff and the coaches and the kids. It has very little to do with me. It just is. I know that for a fact. I know the kind of coaches we have. I know the kind of staff we have. And we got the greatest kids anywhere. And when you win an award like that, that is, I think, so drastically different than where people think the attention should be paid. The attention should be paid on the department and the university and our president who provides the great support. So that award really is in recognition of the entire department.
Well, congrats to everybody. I'm sure they all feel a part of it because that's just the culture at Northwestern. And Dr. Jim, it's very humble of you, but congrats to you again for you got a ton on your plate, and I think that award is just a little bit of a recognition of everything you're doing, both for collegiate athletics and at Northwestern.
Well deserved.
Well. Yes, sir. So along those lines, we expect you to be in the Willie the Wildcat suit tomorrow as well because you wear so many. it's a big day because that way you could just, cheer as much as you want. And
now that Carb even threw that out there, we may have to hold you this. Sort of promo down the road.
I just always wish that I had been I wish that in my college career I would have gone mascot just for a little bit.
Mark, we can still make that happen.
Yeah.
Brother. You just have to say the word and I can. I can make that happen.
See, a lot of people, when that gets thrown out there, they run from it. But I would go Willie the Wildcat for a game. Just I don't think I would take on that challenge. Dr. Jim, we'll see you tomorrow at Welsh Ryan. Should be a great atmosphere, and hopefully the Cats get to win number 20 and send the seniors out in style.
Sounds good. And I think Adam Hogue should read about the Wally Pipp story because I think Kevin may have just replaced him forever. So make sure that Hogue researches the story about Wally Pipp, okay?
All right.
I'm going to pass that on to him.
Thanks, Dr. Phillips.
Appreciate it, guys. Go Cats.
All right.
See you soon.
Dr. Jim Phillips, your Northwestern Athletic Director. Coming up after the 6:30 news, we'll hear from Alex Ola. Alex Ola, the Wildcat center, who you just heard, his parents coming over from Australia.
That's cool.
For the first time to ever see him play in a Wildcat basketball game, his final regular season game, tomorrow afternoon. 1 o'clock tip, 12:45 pregame right here on 720 WGN. We'll take you to 3:30, and then we'll get you into Blackhawks hockey, so a full day.
Red Wings are in town.
Yeah, yeah.
How great was that watching them play again the other night?
That was,
it was just twice a year now.
It's a dismantling.
That was one of the Hawks' best games of the season.
I hate,
absolutely dominated.
I hate that it's only twice a year.
Yes.
I don't know how you, right?
But when it's on, though, now, you kind of appreciate it more, and you kind of get hyped up for it. It's not watered down at all. But, yeah, I agree. I kind of miss.
That's true. That's true. The game's in the regular season a little more important, I guess, because he only played two times. All right, let's get into the newsroom. Coming back, we'll again have Alex Ola from Northwestern. Final half hour of the beat. Straight ahead, 720 WGN.
Back to Wildcat Insider, driven by Nissan on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, final half hour of the beat. Welcome to your Saturday night, Amy Guth, warming up on deck. Amy's been in Africa. We're going to talk to her in a little transition. I was actually with the Marines for a week.
And I was just here.
Which maybe, I mean, you were grinding out work, making great shows with Steve Cochran.
I'll be in Arizona in a week.
Yeah, it's too. Kevin Powell going to spring.
Doing a little traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. A man who has traveled as well across the world to play hoops at Northwestern. Senior day tomorrow with Wildcat Fine Center, Alex Ola, joining us on 720 WGN. Alex, it's got to be kind of a weird feeling for you. Your parents are coming across. They're going to see you play for the first time tomorrow in person, and it's senior day for you. What are the emotions like, I guess, going into your last home game on the campus of Northwestern?
I wish I can explain to you. You know, there's just so many emotions. Yeah, my parents are going to be here. They're going to watch me play for the first time on my last game at Northwestern, so it's kind of weird. But, you know, it's also my last home game, and, you know, my parents will have the chance to watch me play wherever I'll play next professionally. But, you know, this is going to be mostly about the Northwestern fans, and, you know, this is going to be my last time in front of them, and I'm going to have a lot of emotions because my parents are there, but also because it's going to be the last time I'm going to play in front of them. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to get the win also because that's what's the most important thing, right?
Alex, looking back on your career at Northwestern, plenty of
accomplishments.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for, to hang your hat on. Anything, a particular game, a particular moment, anything that stands out to you as maybe your favorite moment as a Northwestern Wildcat?
Yeah, I guess my favorite moment was last year, actually, also on senior night when we played Michigan and we won in double overtime. That was an incredible game. Mm-hmm. I just remember Trey Dance just hitting those threes to tie the game and get us in overtime. You know, the atmosphere in that game was unbelievable, and it was a game that I'll never forget.
So just you're going on to the your parents coming in town. First of all, I mean, you're from Romania, right? You come to the States for high school before Northwestern. Your parents obviously remaining over in Romania. You stayed here. You had a host family, right? And then you come to Northwestern. Just first of all, like, I mean, you're a young guy, right? You're in high school and you're coming over. How did that come about? I mean, how did you have the confidence that, yeah, look, I want to go to the States and do this and then, you know, go on to college?
Yeah, it was a tough decision. I mean, but actually, it was not tough. I knew I was going to come. It was just tough to leave everybody behind because I knew I was going to come to the States, and I literally did not know anybody. I did not even know the host family I was going to stay with until I actually met them and just, you know, lived with them for 2 years, and that's how I got to know them. But, you know, USA is the place to come and play basketball, and what I wanted to do is play basketball but also go to school, because in Europe you kind of have to choose. Either you play sports or you attend college or university. And I wanted the opportunity to do both, and, you know, Northwestern was the perfect fit.
I watched the video that Northwestern put out of you hugging your mom and dad. Alex, you're taller by a lot than your parents. Did you...
Yeah.
How did you get to be 7 feet tall, sir? Because... you know, me sitting here at 5'10 and wishing that I was just crack 6 feet, because then I would have had a chance to at least play some like D3 hoops or something. You did something right on the growth chart, sir.
On the what?
On the, I, did you do it like Michael Jordan used to hang from a chin-up bar to make himself taller?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you, I don't
you drink a lot of milk.
No, I can't tell you, man. That's my Romanian secret. Like, I can't tell you that.
So you want to continue playing after your career? That you're gonna try to play professional ball overseas?
Yeah, overseas. Of course, I'm gonna try NBA. Go and see. I'm gonna give it a shot, and I'm gonna give all I got. I'll try to go to the NBA, and if not, my second option is gonna be overseas.
Alex, I did some research on Romania. And I found a list of 12 things you probably didn't know about Romania. Did you know that the largest population of brown bears in Europe live in Romania? See a lot of bears out there?
Well, not around my city, but if you go in the mountains, then yeah, you're going to be they're all over.
number five on this list, Romania is Europe's richest country in gold resources. A lot of gold out there?
Yep, also in the mountains.
This one will start. I bet you didn't know this. Romania has the best preserved delta in Europe.
Of course, I knew that. River.
Not only did I not know that, but what is a preserved delta, please?
A delta, like the end point of a river, second largest river delta in Europe.
Yep, the Nube River goes into the Black Sea, and that's where the delta forms.
Look at that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you that I'm not the only one that didn't know what that was. Just want to make sure that... I mean, Alex is a Northwestern student and probably knew what a delta was when he was three. What else you got?
All right, Romania, home to... I'm sorry if I'm butchering this. Wait, is this your hometown? Let me see here. Timișoara? Timișoara?
Yeah, Timișoara.
Okay. Was that your hometown? I'm sorry, I had it up here first.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay,
yeah,
from where you're from, did you know that it was the first city lit by electric street lamps in continental Europe?
Yeah, of course I knew that.
Did you know the old...
I think he's lying.
All right, I think he's lying too, but let me give you one more and we'll move on. The only gold museum in Europe resides in Romania.
Sorry?
There's a gold museum. It's the only gold museum in Europe, a whole museum dedicated to gold, and it's in Romania.
All right, you got me. I had no idea about that.
What's your favorite Romanian dish? Now that your folks are in town, I'm wondering if your mom's cooking something up for you, perhaps the team.
Oh, I'm going to make her cook me something, that's for sure. it'll probably be, we call it sarmale. It's a stuffed cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. With some bread and sour cream.
It's like galumpkis, kind of. That's what we call it in Poland. Delicious. I may need the recipe for that.
Hey, Alex, I'm a longtime Wildcat fan. I'm proud to say it. I've seen many, many, many games. I haven't seen as many athletes connect with the student section the way you have. I mean, they got the Alex Ola chant going on. After wins, you love going over to the student section and giving the high fives. I mean, that's something that you obviously take a lot of joy and a lot of pride in. Can you go ahead and just, you know, that whole bond between you and the students, how did that come about? And it's a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, it's something I love to do. I lived on campus for 2 years, and I connected with a bunch of people. A bunch of the students that come to the games are actually my friends. And, you know, we need that connection. We need them to win games. And, you know, when they show up and they lift us up, you got to recognize them, because there were games that we could not do anything without them. And it's something that I love. I'll be in their seat, like, every game, and I'll be there and cheer. And I think it's also a European thing, because I've been to games and cheered off, and I've been losing my voice after every game, and I kind of feel bad for them too, you know. But we need them. We need them, and I hope they're going to show up in force. I know they're going to show up in force tomorrow, even after the dance marathon that's going on tonight. They're going to dance for 30 straight hours, but I know they're going to show up for our game too.
That's cool. We got a 30-hour dance going on campus?
Yeah, dance marathon is one of the biggest. I can't think about the word, but
fundraiser.
Benefits in the backpack. They're raising money for kids and bring them food, you know, in the weekends. That can get their parents can buy them food, and it's a really great cause. I was actually just there, you know, encouraging them, cheering for them this time at Dance Marathon, and you know, told them to come support me.
Did you hoverboard over there? Because I believe I've seen you around campus just twirling around. I don't know how Coach Collins feels about that, but that's you're a skilled man on that thing.
Oh yeah, no, that was just a spring thing. No, not, I stopped right before the season.
Oh, be careful; those things set on fire pretty easily.
Yeah, I know. I researched. I got it from the right place.
Good.
How's the foot? Are you good for tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, my foot felt great. I've been 100% for 2 weeks now. You know, I was out for the boot for 2.5 weeks, so I feel great. I feel just as good as I felt before the injury. I'm ready for the Big Ten. I got my rest. Unfortunately, I got my rest. But I'm ready to go for the Big Ten tournament and ready for to make a run, just like the girls did.
Yeah.
All right, final fun fact. Romania boasts the world's largest administrative building.
Yep. I think it's actually the second.
Oh.
The second biggest after the Pentagon or something like that as surface. I don't know.
All right.
One of the biggest. Yeah, it's huge. It's right in the capital, Bucharest.
Look at this. He knows. This is good. Alex knows his fun facts over there in Romania. I love it.
Last time I had a midlife crisis was about 10 years ago, and I traveled solo to Italy, Spain, and Israel. My next one, which is due in about 2 years, I'm going to come Eastern Europe. And can we hook up and you can start the trip for me a little Romania style?
For sure. I got you, man. I got you.
That's my guy.
Good luck, Alex. Have fun tomorrow.
Alex, great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
All right, Alex Ola, your Wildcat senior center.
Fun.
Yep, that was Wildcat Insider driven by Nissan. I love Alex Ola. Huge
good
fan.
Man. Good man.
Good man, decent. I'm telling you, on that hoverboard, it's like spinning around.
Surprising. He's a big man, 7 feet tall.
He is a big
seven-footer, 275.
Yep, great. Yep. And great credit to the Wildcat program. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up. I was with the Marines for a week. Amy Guth was in Africa, and Kevin Powell is going to spring training.
And we'll wrap up our discussion on the American Lung Association's fight for air climb.
Yes, sir. That's all straight ahead, 720 WGN. Final segment on the beat. Really into the tunes today. I hope you're rocking this one like I am.
If you're watching on WGNRadio.com, Carm's kind of moving over there a little bit, dancing a little. Makes me ready for some bowls tonight.
Makes me want to go out do a little clubbing.
You gonna be late for bowls?
No, it's a 7:30 tip.
Oh, you're good.
7:30 tip, my friend. Okay, before we get to Kevin going to Arizona and bailing out on the fight for air climb tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out in San Diego. With Patty Vasquez and Jackie and Shanae and four of us traveling with the Marines this week. It was the educator workshop. So, you know, I felt privileged to be able to go and whatnot. And I I'm going out there, right? And my dad's a World War II veteran, right?
Wow.
Enlisted when he was 17, wanted to be a pilot, he was in pilot school at Western Illinois while he was playing football.
Go Leathernecks.
Exactly right. And as the way that everything unfolded, we dropped the bomb, and then he's basically sent over on cleanup duty, so he never flew in the war. But like, I grew up, truth be told, you know, I've got two older brothers. What are you laughing at over there so much? What are you... I got to call you out on it.
You have little mannerisms. It's
you're
stupid.
Laughing at a mannerism?
I don't know. Just like a little tick you have. I don't know. Just keep going. I don't know why it caught me off guard.
Wait, hold on a second.
I'm getting giddy here at the end of the show.
Hold on. Jacobson.
This is like a nice, serious story talking about his family and KP... what the military has meant to his family. And this guy's sitting there giggling.
I'm like...
like so insensitive.
I'm sorry.
You just legit dogged my mannerisms. Oh, which are, was it like this one? It was a quick one? What did I do.
You do this thing where you like kind
of
like,
okay, there is a little bit of a twitch, but you don't bring it up in the middle of a heartfelt story.
Oh,
Kevin.
I started laughing. I didn't bring it up. He
You're laughing on my like serious heartfelt story, so I had to call, I had to jump
in. I didn't know you were going full blown heartfelt.
I was going heartfelt. Whatever. My point is that I had an incredible week with the Marines. Damn it! And so I'll give you the coolest moment, KP. As I twitch around here, I don't know if you can feel that as I talk, but I'm just trying to give you a little twitch, which is like causing Powell. Okay, we get up on Thursday morning, right? 3:45 a.m., baby.
Yeah.
We're in the parking lot. We're getting in the vans. We're going to ride up to the Crucible, which, you know, they've got training areas up there, and so we it's an hour drive, and we're going up. We're on dirt roads, the whole deal. And the Marines, to be a Marine, when you get recruited, you go through 13 weeks of training. Mm. Okay, so the final thing that they have to do is what they call the Crucible.
Right.
54 hours, KP.
Jeez.
All right? They're hiking up and down, and the Reaper is at the very end of it. I guess it's very steep, and it's like, this is after 54 hours. They give them three meals in 54 hours. Think about three. Now, when they're doing all sorts of drills. They sleep for 4 hours a night outside, right?
Jeez.
4 hours, three meals, and they're coming down. It's, you know, whatever it was, 8 a.m. at that point. Tons of fog. We're up on this mountain. And here, like out of the darkness, come the Marines who are going to graduate right then, or at least finish their last thing. There's a ceremony that's obviously more formal. But this is like the moment. They're gonna be presented with a pin that they get saying, hey, you know, their sergeant comes over, you are a Marine. It's a huge moment. What are you laughing at again? Smiling like an unbelievable guy over. Anyway, yes, you are. But it's okay. So these guys come down. Kevin, they stink.
Yeah,
they're exhausted. They're drenched. I mean, their whole uniforms are just drenched in sweat. And, you know, one kid in particular, he's like 5'3", 5'4". They have 100-pound packs on their backs.
Wow.
Right? I mean, I'm in pain watching him come down. And when they're handing this kid the medal, right, he is, I mean, it is emotional.
Yeah, I bet.
And they just went through, you know, 13 weeks of training, and you have drill instructors who would just make them, they break them down, right, and then they build them back up. It was truly incredible to see.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And we talked to Patty, or Cochran talked to Patty last week a few times when you guys were out there, and I was texting back and forth. They're trying to schedule a time, and she goes, this time won't work. We have the Crucible at that point. I go, that just sounds scary.
Well, you guys called her, and she's on the back of the bus.
Yeah, and the drill sergeant was all, you know, she had to be quiet. She had to call us back.
Right. But literally everyone was quiet, and it was like a big moment, and she's in the lag. Goes, I can't talk right now. Right. And I was like, honestly, I want to turn around, like, hang up the phone. You are not allowed to interrupt this serious moment, but that was pretty
very cool trip. And great thing you guys did. All that stuff's on WGNRadio.com, videos, photos, all that good stuff.
It was a great experience. Our drill sergeant,
yeah, tough on
our drill instructor, Sergeant Lemke, one of the more intimidating people I've come across in recent
he sounds dangerous. Just by the name,
he would ask a question, nobody would respond. He's like, oh, we have a volume problem, run. And so then the whole we'd all freeze. Or we'd say zero, then we'd have to say freeze. And are you ready? Yes, sir. When you say eyes, what do they say?
What?
Click. Ears, open, sir. Eyes,
click.
Sir.
Sir.
Ears,
open, sir.
Louder. Eyes,
click, sir.
Ears,
open, sir.
Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So you know that'd be a yes, sir. And then if I tell you to do something like tell me about your spring training story, you would say aye, aye, sir. You ready?
Aye, aye, sir. Oh.
Tell me about your spring training story.
Aye, aye, sir.
Go ahead.
And then I tell you?
Yeah, I guess. It was
you're not cut out for the
Marines. Aye, aye, sir. Yes, sir. I love you, sir. I should have been in the Marines, Kevin. If I could go back in time, I just want to do the 13-week training. I want to get all that benefit, the whole, you know, going over and fighting in a war those men are greater than me.
Right.
God bless.
It was
incredible to sit and have lunch and talk and the whole deal. All right. When are you going to spring training again?
I'll be Monday the 14th. So about a week and a half, roughly.
Have you figured out how you're going to split your time, White Sox Cubs?
I have, because when I look at their schedule, I'll be at Cubs and Mesa for a couple days. I'll head out to Camelback for a day, and then both of them play the Diamondbacks at the Diamondbacks facility at their spring training stadium, which is just up the road. It's not even far, so I'll probably catch a couple games up there. So I think I'll actually be at three different stadiums.
That's awesome.
Check out the Diamondbacks, Cubs, Sox. I'll be doing hits with Cochran in the morning, Bill and Wendy with Rowe, and Kaufman.
Now,
throughout the week, Monday through Friday, we'll do videos, photos, blogs, try to get some one-on-ones and whatnot.
You can do anything for the beat?
Yeah, but I'm only there during the week.
Are you going to come on after the week and at least give us an update on how it all went? Can we just get something out of you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Talk some baseball next Saturday, or two Saturdays.
All right. Well, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. I think you're going to have a great time.
Thank you. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Thanks for letting me sit here, Carm.
Oh,
sitting for Hoger.
Well, you did a phenomenal job, man. It's always good to have you. Amy Guth is in studio. She's been in Africa.
Yeah.
Why is everybody around her doing cool things? That's awesome. Yeah, 11 days in Africa for you, Amy Guth. How was it? What was the highlight? Tell me everything. Tell us everything.
It was so awesome. You know, certainly a highlight was standing on top of Table Mountain in Cape Town as the sun set. Uh-huh. One of the seven natural wonders of the world. It was stunningly beautiful. And it was.
How did you ever leave? Were you ready to just post up there and to just live the rest of your life there?
I kind of was. In fact, I went so far as to have the realization that my tourist visa was good until May 22nd. I was like, well, you know, I could do this.
Stretch this a little bit.
The rand to dollar conversion is quite favorable in our, you know, to us right now. So, no, it's a beautiful place. It's so beautiful and everyone was so friendly and it was wonderful. And I would go back in a minute. It was great.
And I know that you were there for a good cause as well.
Yeah. So I also do some side work with the Op-Ed Project and the Public Voices Fellowship within it. And so I was there working with a group of people that work in social enterprise or, medical, big life-saving things. Like one of the foremost experts on eradicating malaria was in the room.
Wow.
And it's people with a really vast knowledge base. And we work with them to kind of rethink the way they talk about their expertise and the way they present it to journalists and to funders. We talk about writing op-eds, about appearing on media and being a good guest and, really getting your idea in there quickly and well.
So Amy's traveling across the country to help people, doing big things. I'm about to skip out on a stair climb for the American Lung Association. I feel like a terrible person.
You know what? I did that. I did that year before last. It was a great event.
You faked an injury and didn't go to the climb? Is that what you're saying? Or you actually did the climb?
I actually did it. I did all four towers.
Because I'm planning on faking an injury.
No. You know what? Here's what's great. There's little water stations set up, and the chip on your shoe, you don't... I mean, once you cross the threshold to go to the elevators at the top, the time stops. So you can hang out quite a while up at the elevators. And kind of
it's just the getting up and going. I'm just going to give money.
No, do it. It's fun. It's really fun, and you get a cool medal.
Listen, do not bail out on this. He's claiming he's got a hamstring injury, Amy.
It's not a I don't know what it is.
I did it with a broken rib. Come on.
Wow. I suck.
I mean, you're a young man who's going to – I'll guilt you further. You're going to spring training. The station's sending you there. The least you can do is climb four towers at the presidential tower.
I raised a bunch of money for
it
already. Yeah, I did.
How much?
$150.
That's 200. Not a bunch. That's
Cochran's
going
to match whatever I raise, so we'll bump it to like $200, $300.
Okay.
And how can people donate right now?
Go to ALA.org. Or no, excuse me, lung.org. And go to the search, go to Enit to Win It, and the whole WGN Radio team will pop up. Click on my name.
If Dave Enit allows you to bail out of it, then I'm good.
I haven't checked with Mr. Cat on this. So.
And?
I haven't checked with him.
Okay.
I'll text him right now.
I have a feeling he would not want you to bail out.
Yeah,
he's not a bailout.
Dave's going to pull the disappointment card on me. I think
I'm going to be there, pal. And
you're playing tennis tomorrow. He's bailing too, Amy.
No.
He's going to play tennis in the morning.
Amy, I'm playing tennis early in the morning, but then I'm going to go climb. I'm just not going to climb with all the WGN folks. That's legal, is it not?
You're bailing on your team.
How will anyone know that you do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'll. Are you kidding?
I'm kidding.
I will have a time and everything.
Yes,
will be done.